Hello, 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 and welcome to the Scotchcast for the week of July 23rd, 2016. My name is Conrad Kirby, also known as Thurlton. Cynic will not be joining us for the first half of the show. He will be coming in post-ending music for a little add-on to talk about hardware and some other thoughts. We're just having a tough time with scheduling this week. However, joining me today in the proverbial digital table is Durin.
Hang on, I gotta catch a Venonat.
Pokemon Master Durin, followed by Squiddle.
I'm tired of hearing about Pokemon. I wish I could put an augmentation into my brain that would just completely eradicate it from the entire world at this point.
You wish Pokemon would go away?
Yes.
And finally,
not just for a week. Just give me a week of silence.
Okay, that's fair. And then lastly, for a little bit before he has to go, it's going to be a short show for the first half, but we'll see.
Half.
Yes, New Brahma will be joining us on the other half, but he's nice enough to hang around for the first half as well. New Brahma.
Again, did you guys see that article about the guy who was playing Pokemon Go in the Holocaust Museum? And then he's like, I don't want to cause any offense, but got to catch them all, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Pokemon Go players are like. They're fucking savage.
See, I don't know what's worse, that one or the guy that quit his job to play it full time.
No, but the guy that quit his job isn't being inconsiderate to other people, like the guy who is...
Sure, he's actually probably doing people a favor.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not yet. It's once he stops his car in the middle of the highway because he wants to catch a fucking flugelflurry off the side of a mountain or something, you know.
The best part is the guy who quit his job to play full time, I don't believe is the same guy who has caught them all.
No, it's
so that guy quit his job and then failed.
And he already started off and he was not the very best.
That's right.
There were two Canadian teenagers yesterday that got arrested at the U.S. border while playing Pokemon Go because they walked across the border.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good lord.
Don't people know Pokemon is about breaking down borders and friendship across the country? No, yeah, Pokemon Go is...
Go Team Rocket.
Go Team Valor, I think, is one of the teams. I'm not even sure. Okay, all right.
They're making a resurgence in my area. They didn't exist when the game launched, so I'm pretty excited.
Why am I feeding into this? Goddamn!
I don't know. We're gonna jump quickly into news. There hasn't been a lot of news from what we can tell for the past couple of weeks. Chief of which, just like Evo happened, Evolution 2016. I actually had a coworker who like made the pilgrimage. It almost felt like to Vegas to he's a big into the fighting games. Did any of you guys watch Evo either on Twitch?
I had two friends who went to Evo, but they ended up just gambling in a casino.
That's
for
fair.
Most of the event. Yeah,
just being like in the middle of a hotel room, just throwing money down on Street Fighter or something.
What does Evo stand for?
They went
Evolution.
They went to,
Evolution.
To like a casino and gambled all of their money, all of their cash.
Well,
that sounds like a good plan.
But Durin or Squiddle, did you guys? Well, I guess New Rama, your friends went. Did you catch any of Evo on Twitch?
I watched. I don't even remember what I watched. I watched something on Twitch. It was a fighting game thing, and then it looked really exciting. And then I realized, oh, I don't give a shit. And then I turned it off.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sounds like that was probably MVC.
Baby.
I don't understand when they call it evolution, but that's not a genre of game. That's not that evolution. Like
evolution is just the name of the.
That's just the name of the. It's like a festival almost. In that they play they showcase like all types of fighting games. So
sure. Should it be like evolution of fighting games championship, and then make the acronym off of that, and not just call it Evo?
That sounds like an idea that would make sense, which is not something the people at Evo tend to do.
Oh, that's fair.
Not to say that what they're doing isn't like a bad idea or a dumb idea. It's just historically the people running Evo and the community behind Evo don't necessarily go they go to the beat of a different drummer. Let's say.
Okay.
This is the first year that they've had like kind of like sponsorship influence and all that. I've noticed like Geico Gaming was a thing on some of the commercials.
Yeah, fighting a community as against the idea of them being an esports as against that as they've been, they are now an esports.
Mm-hmm. they are now, at least in the U.S., on ESPN2, yes. Which was an interesting, yeah, that was neat. That was pretty cool. Like, is that available in Canada, Noob?
ESPN is available in Canada, and it's like, I think it's like SportsCenter or something, like an app they have for like regular sports from like ESPN or somewhere like that, where they show you sports scores. But like starting a couple of years ago, they would also show you like Dota match scores through that app, which is crazy because it's sort of that mainstream acceptance of esports within like the sports media, which I think is, I don't know if that's a good thing because I don't want to see esports.
Yeah, we've seen and heard stories of like certain esport matches being the Dota International, as well as like certain League of Legends, like top matches. Those have been on television with ESPN2. ESPN, one of the ESPNs, not the main ESPN.
I believe it was ESPN3.
Okay. But this was one of the first ones, especially with the story of the one American in the championships, Long Island Joe, I think was the name. Just like that, there was a story and a narrative that the television crews were able to latch onto and I think did a good job of at least setting a precedent for this in the future. So we might see more of it later on, but that was worth making mention in the news. Otherwise, I think that's all we have for news this week.
Yeah,
the only thing I took away from it is that somebody's father was there in the crowd and everybody was happy. And then I don't know who that was. And then he lost. So
yeah, that was Long Island Joe. He made one match. He won his first round in the championships, did not make the second, but that is an accomplishment in itself. Given the fact that like how more common it is to see, an Oceanic player, like be it, Japan, South Korea, what have you, but like they are much more likely to end up in the championships than an American. So the fact that he won one of his matches was like the crowd just loved him.
It's just like, it's really this sad. Is all like flashbacks for me to like the days when I cared about StarCraft II competitions. Like, yes, a fucking American made it to the top five.
Yeah.
We did it.
This is like,
and then now we get to watch the awkward Korean.
Yeah.
After the win.
So like the evolution. So let's say that esports is, the 1950s through the 80s of boxing. And then what is the evolution of that to like MMA for Evo? Like, how do you go?
Muhammad Ali.
I don't know if we're there yet. I don't know if we have it with someone.
I mean, we'll go into like VR and VR fighting games and then just like hook the VR fighting games into giant robots. And right. Then we got robot jocks.
Yeah, actually, I would say if there was an evolution, it would be VR esports.
So it'd be like that robot fighting movie with the Wolverine dude in it.
Like imagine like once they get HoloLens working.
Oh,
right.
Elysium.
No, yeah, yes, Elysium.
Yes, that's the Wolverine guy.
No, yep. No. It's the guy who made Elysium with a Chappie. Chappie. Chappie had the Wolverine guy.
It wasn't Chappie. It was
Chappie Happy.
It was, something metal or something?
I'm not even going to
look
this
steel?
Up.
Real steel, that's it. Something metal.
We made it there eventually.
Yeah.
What a trip.
So the only other bit of news will kind of tie into Thurb's gameplaying and mine as well. Overwatch got a big update.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Very big update. Almost 2 gig update.
Yeah.
It's 1.6 gigs. Yeah. Wherein they added a new character. Thurb, have you gotten a chance to play her much?
I played a little bit of her today when Anna, the new character, first got announced. I loaded up the PTR and jumped on it, and like on an average team of six, 2 to 3 people were playing as Anna. So I had
it's thankfully slowed down now. Where generally it's like every team still has an Anna. It doesn't matter. You will have an Anna.
Mm-hmm. Too many snipers. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, no, I played against a team last night that had an Anna, a Hanzo, and a Widowmaker.
Perfect.
So yeah, anybody who doesn't know, Anna is a support sniper, so she can actually, like, snipe heals. So basically, she shoots the same gun, like, the bullets are the same. It's not like a left-right click thing. But when a bullet hits an ally, it heals them. When it hits an opponent, it does, like, a damage over time effect on them as well. And then her ultimate, like, just is this, like, ridiculous buff. that she gives the single player.
I actually had a friend, another coworker, who they explained a bit of Anna, like, because I played Dom, and like, no, I don't know who this new character is. Please tell me. And apparently, when she is scoped in with a sniper rifle, it's a hit scan weapon. But when she's not, it's a projectile weapon.
Really?
So that is like that's just a neat thing to consider as well.
I did notice that you are able to use her not sniped in like decently well. So that makes sense then. The other thing I noticed too is the at least on the healing side of things with her or other shots, the like hit box to like actually hit an ally to heal them is actually much larger than the character model is. So you can actually kind of miss them a little bit and you'll still get the heal on them. Just super useful because actually I was worried about that because like, I'm not a great sniper, but I like the idea of the character, but I was afraid to actually play her. And when a friend told me that and I tried it out, I was like, okay, she's actually usable for me now.
I discovered that when I was like trying to shoot some like we're in the before a match starts and just like in the movie, in the Hollywood one, shooting all the different popcorn cans, and I was trying to shoot one behind or past one of my allies and like get the bullet curved. She's like, wait, what? Okay.
So I have like this anxiety to play her. Because when I started playing Overwatch, nobody knew how the fuck to play Overwatch. Mm-hmm. You know, now people know how to play Overwatch. I played her on the test realm and it was fun for a little bit. I messed around, but I have this weird thing where like because it's new, everybody's focused on that one character. And so if you're not good, like when the first round of you playing, I have that like weird old school anxiety of I don't want to play that character because I don't want people shit talking me. And I know I can ignore it, but I know it would be there. Like I would inherently just feel
that.
From
what I've noticed, it actually seems to be the opposite. It seems like it's reminding me back when Overwatch first launched where, people who are playing as Anna, are given a bit more leeway, a little bit more slack than if you were playing like a Mercy or a Lucio. Like, I don't really see people calling out like, oh, you're a terrible Anna. You're terrible. Where the hell are my heals? But I'd still see that if you're playing a Lucio or you're playing a Mercy and you're not giving the heals they want. But people generally seem like they're being fairly lax against, like, again, like looking back to like the Overwatch launch when people were generally pretty forgiving of their teammates while people were still learning the game. Okay. So, I mean, I would say, you know, not jump into competitive play. But I haven't noticed any issues with anybody complaining about an Anna in quick play. And I played, quite a few matches even just last night. And again, every match had an Anna.
Just a heads up, a PSA for you, Squiddle, as well as for anybody else. And I guess not many people know this. I think I first heard about this on one of the Bombcasts. But anyway, there's a way to make it so that you can't hear your teammates. That's an in-game option. However, every time you load up the game, you have the option to, or like not in between matches, but just every time you open the game again, you can press P and you get the like social chat options and you can choose to turn off all text talk for that session of the game.
Huh.
So if you're having anxiety issues or something, that's a good way to be like, I'm just not listening to you and I'm going to have fun.
Okay. Well, it was never. I always knew about the turning off the audio one because nobody wants to chat with anybody when you play unless you're a group of friends, and then you're not using in-game chat for that point. So that's always been off. But But anyway, okay.
Well, I mean, I've used the voice chat like for competitive matches and whatnot, and I've tried to be like, oh hey, like that. I'll never call anybody out, but I'll be like, hey, like we have a sniper, we have like an Anna, a Widow, and a Bastion on offense. I don't know if we have enough like push to try and get a point, guys.
And then you say that, and then the guy who hasn't picked yet picks Torb. And
yep.
You're like, all right, cool, but that's how this match is going to go. All right.
Somehow we win with that. I don't know. Zarya's really good.
We'll get better
luck
than I do then. So aside from the addition of the character, there were some nerfs and buffs handed out to some players, some characters. One in particular that I wanted to talk about because it seems like a point of contention for a lot of people, and is I'm especially invested in it because it's one of my favorite characters, is the change to D.Va. So a lot of people felt like she was underpowered.
She was.
Her survivability wasn't where it should have been. And so they buffed her by giving you more control over her defense matrix. By allowing you to essentially tap it now. It works a little bit more like Reinhardt's shield. recharges much faster than Reinhardt's shield, but doesn't last nearly as long as it did before.
It didn't last long enough at all before, period, in my opinion.
Well, sure. It lasts even less time now, though, I think. Now it only lasts about 4 seconds. I personally, having played a lot of D.Va even before the patch, didn't feel like she was in a bad place, didn't feel like she needed a buff. That said, with the buffs that she was given, I feel like she's finally in a good place, and she's able to do what she needs to do and, like, actually be a tank. But she can be a little bit more offensive of a tank than maybe some of the other tanks are. I've heard a lot of people, though, say that maybe she was overtuned and that now she's a little bit overpowered and that defensive matrix is too strong. Having played some of the game as well, what do you guys think?
That's really never bothered me. Like, it's always a thing of, like, it's the mental thing of just, like, you need to try and trick the D.Va into either, like, using that ability and then, like, while it's just on cooldown between charges or something, maybe mess with that. It hasn't bothered me too much. D.Va's always just been a giant hitbox to focus on.
And I would say I was probably playing it wrong. I would never use that defense matrix ever. Like, that was something that was just
I didn't use
the back of my mind. I mean, my thing was my feeling towards her was always get your alt up. Once it's up, strategically use it. Get your mech back. Get it up as fast as you can. And
so
that's it.
That's the other complaint I've seen as well is people complaining that her ult is now too strong because they, as it's been put to me, they reduced the trigger time on it by 25%, which sounds like a lot. But when you actually look at the amount of time, it's 1 second. And so, like, I personally don't feel like that's overpowered. I think it makes it more useful because now you can actually kill people with it. Like, 4 seconds was way too long, gave people way too much of an
opportunity. Oh, okay, so you're saying the time before detonation is lowered now. Okay, I got you. Yeah, that's even better because, you would fire it or you would and people would be like, oh, corner, just run around and then sit there.
Yeah, and I mean, you could argue that it was a denial. It was definitely something that controlled space. However, as nice as it is to say that it controlled space, and that is accurate, it did. It would push people off a point and what have you. It would do so for a couple of seconds, and you as the D.Va player got no benefit out of it.
See,
there's nothing that's tracking like, oh, you just denied space, here's some points for you.
Yeah, and see, I would love it so that if you were, let's say you were to launch the mech and it lands and it's getting ready to go off, like you would do like that an arc type thing, if it hit, it stunned everyone around so they couldn't move, and then it went off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that would be way too overpowered, but the idea that you could strategically arc your shot of throwing your mech in the air over a wall and it would just hit with a thud with like stumble people and then it would just go off so they can't run away from it.
That might be a bit much.
Maybe? Okay.
As it's right now, like the fact that you can actually like stealth launch your mech. I've seen it done. I've had it done.
Oh, yeah. I've done it many times.
It's pretty powerful. That said, with the second reduction on the detonation time, that actually makes launching it harder.
Because I guess so, because you can
prematurely detonate if you do your angle correctly.
So I just want to throw in a couple quick points as well as something. I don't know if it got added this patch or if it was always a thing and I just never have seen it before, but Roadhog can hook the exploding mech.
Oh yeah, that was absolutely there before. I saw.
Okay, because I saw
it to his party.
Yeah, that was really good. I mean, like in regards to making the alt 25% faster kind of thing or shorter. If you try and like look at the other people's alts, like Hanzo is also another really good area denial that like you still get the audio cue. You know, okay, we need to scatter soon. That's even slower than D.Va's. But that still gets a lot of kills sometimes. It's just on it's on the opposing team to know that, oh, this is a thing that might happen. We can't group up that often.
Well, that's the thing about his too, is it unlike D.Va's, yes, it's fairly slow, but it moves through walls.
And yeah, he can fire from safety.
All you have to do is find a corner or even a car.
Like, yeah, I would almost hesitate to say that they need to make it so it's a radius effect. And not just if I'm hiding behind something that it gets blocked.
Well, no, I think where it's at now is good. I think if they were to go back to increasing that time again, then they would need to do something to allow it to hit a little bit more frequently. But where it's at now, I feel like it's actually a good place. So the other complaint I've heard about D.Va with her buff now is that she feels like a better Reinhardt. Now that is something I can't necessarily argue with too much because she does in a lot of ways parallel Reinhardt's abilities, especially with her change to the defensive matrix. So like you can't necessarily pull it up quite as fast and reliably as Reinhardt, and it definitely doesn't last nearly as long as Reinhardt's shield does. But it does recharge faster. She has good up close damage, similar to Reinhardt. And she doesn't have the range similar to Reinhardt. But, like, I think, I don't know. Do you guys feel like that's a valid complaint about her, or?
It's, I mean, like, I haven't seen enough of D.Va being played post-patch, as well as, like, I mean, during the patch notes, Reinhardt didn't even get touched because, I mean, Reinhardt, I guess structurally is still a really good thing. It's also a thing of when someone is playing Reinhardt really well, you know, and someone is playing Reinhardt really badly, you know, it's like, why do you have your shield up when there's no one to defend?
That's why I feel like that's not an accurate, complaint personally, because I've played games, you know, in the last day or so even, where Reinhardt fucking wrecked me when I was playing as a D.Va, because Reinhardt still hard counters D.Va. So saying that D.Va is a better Reinhardt makes no sense, because Reinhardt can still destroy her.
Yeah. Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, yeah. So real quickly, some of the other buffs, Zenyatta got a speed boost buff as well as, to his ult, as well as, boost in speed to his orbs he can shoot out. I don't know if anyone here plays him to see a difference on that. Seems like it's worked out for the better.
I've been trying to get into Zenyatta. It's always a thing of like when there's a good Zenyatta, I just like, I turn a corner, see him, and then suddenly I'm dead. And it's like, wow, yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah, and I played Zenyatta last night, and I'm like, I don't know how people are so great at him, because I'm apparently terrible. Let's see, there had to have been one other change, and
I guess a slight thing for D.Va, just in case people haven't heard yet, when she does do her ultimate, she is not affected by the explosion, whereas previously she was.
Oh, okay.
I think that was one of that for me was like the other big note for D.Va.
I mean, there's a change they had to make when they're going to reduce the time down to 3 seconds, because sometimes it was already hard to get out of the way. Okay, but yeah, big change to Overwatch. People seem to mostly enjoy the changes, aside from maybe the D.Va stuff.
We'll see.
I don't know. I personally think Torb still needs... I understand why they did his nerf on console. I think that a similar nerf does need to happen on PC, maybe not to the extent of console, but maybe give him like 95% accuracy or 90% accuracy to his turret, because 100% accuracy is still a little rough sometimes. Then again, I play a lot of Pharah, so maybe that's just my bias.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, that's for Pharah, you just have to know the maps and know where you can engage from over 40 meters. Like, maybe if they reduce the distance of which it engages to, like, maybe 35 or something like that, that's a fine-tuned thing of, like, knowing Pharah, the maps and knowing...
Yeah, because I feel like Pharah is built to counter that. But when you are up there in the sky trying to shoot it, it will kill you generally before you can kill it.
All right. Well, but yeah, Overwatch, still fun, still a lot to talk about. But I think that does it for news. We'll jump over to what we've been playing. Because I know he needs to leave soon. I think we're going to throw it a noob if he's still there.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I guess the only thing I actually played, I did play something new, which is the Arma 3 DLC.
Yeah, the new
Apex.
The Jungle Islands? Is it Greece?
Yes,
is it Tanoa. Greece still, or is it...
No, it's set, I think, in Africa, is what they're trying to say. Like, tropical area is the impression I get. It is really good island. It's like an excellent island. It's maybe my favorite Bohemia island, period. In the sense of like a giant map.
What's the scale of it compared to Altus, I think was the name of it.
I think it's slightly bigger than Altus.
Oh, wow.
It's
okay.
Not the same. Let me check right now. But
since it's Africa, like a lot of open space and rolling hills kind of thing that Altus was known
jungle.
For?
It's thick jungle, basically. So it's a good mix of jungle and what is it? And urban areas, surprisingly. Okay. Because in terms of urban areas, the Altus had cities and towns, but they were like little Mediterranean bungalows, etc. here there's a lot more verticality to the maps. A lot of the buildings are more modern and like storefronts and sort of you have like a central business district. So it is a very different experience, especially when you add the thick jungle to it. And it is so easy to get lost in the jungle, like I imagine what it would be like in real life. In terms of like the content, they added a co-op campaign already. That's already playable.
Oh, that's cool.
There is... So rather than going for like future weapons, they actually went back in time and added modern weapons that we have today into the campaign.
Okay.
Which I found was very strange, but they did it anyways. And yeah, it's a bit too expensive, I think. $35 or whatever dollars or $40 for basically a DLC. It's quite a hefty price.
That seems to be the Arma thing though.
Yeah, the thing is, like, because this island is something that you can infinitely play with, just because of its vast size and just everything's going to be based around custom content on this island, I guess you could justify it, if only because...
Well, but that's the thing, though, is that it's based around the custom content, but is that custom content made by Bohemia, or is it made by the players?
No, it's made by the players.
That's the problem, is they're not putting the work into it. No. They're creating the map so that you can put the work into it after you paid them too much money for it.
Exactly. That's why I would be hesitant. Unless, I mean, if you're a big fan of Arma, then you already know what you want. But if you're like, oh, I want it, maybe I'll pick up, this is like a reason for me to pick up Arma 3 altogether, because there, I think there's like a complete edition. I would just get the base Arma 3 on sale, see if you really like it, and then pick up the island. Because I think this is really only towards like hardcore players. And also community play people release giant islands all the time anyways. So
it's also a thing like... a while ago, they released the Zeus free patch, which I thought was like, it was a neat idea. It's just the thing, it was with a lot of what Arma does, there's a lot of steps to get to the fun.
Yeah.
Like the wealth of options you have with just the map editor before even Zeus was around was neat, but I had almost no idea how to do any of it.
Right.
And so, I mean, like once you finally know the steps and know how to do that stuff, that's neat. But I wish that they would make it easier to, like, even with the Zeus stuff, like maybe a smarter AI for like, oh, I just want to plop some guys down and run along the roads kind of thing, or something like that. Like make more thematic stuff. And I don't think they've done anything like that with this.
Not really.
Nope. Okay.
If you like the
co-op campaign though,
if you like, urban areas, and if you're just looking for something specific like that, then this is for you. If you wanted more than a $30 map, then maybe you should hold off on this until it's like 75% off, really.
It sounds like this is definitely a lot more infantry or like ground-based focused stuff.
Yes,
like less
armor,
like,
is almost impossible in the jungle.
Because, okay.
Well, actually, I say almost, it's impossible. It's like light infantry all the way.
I mean, armor could knock the trees down kind of thing and go super
not
slow.
Not an entire jungle.
Yeah. All right. Cool. But yeah, you've been having fun with it?
I have been enjoying it.
With the PC gaming hub?
Yeah, we've been playing a couple games, like co-op games, but I think we just need to still wait for more custom content to slowly filter out, which again, like, kind of fucked up, but what can you do?
But
I mean,
there's still...
not buy the game.
There's still a community there that is making custom content, right?
Masters community, yeah.
Awesome. Very
and,
cool.
Yeah, that's about it. I actually have not done anything else.
All right, let's just rip the Band-Aid off quick. Just get it over with. Thank you, Noob, by the way. Durin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What have you been playing?
I only play the obscure games. I know you guys know that about me.
We can see eye to eye on this stuff is the obscure indie games.
Yeah, so like I'm playing this super, super indie game called Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
So you're on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Phone games are so 2016. It's great.
They are. They're the new age. I mean, you might as well throw your consoles out now.
Now I have that Imagine Dragons song stuck in my head. Thanks for that.
Deus Ex Go.
Good God, level 8 gym. Jesus.
It's going to be a thing.
Oh my God.
So.
All right. Okay. I have not played this. I don't want to play it. I don't. Explain to me. What's the point? I mean, are you just collecting these things and that's it? I don't understand the concept of this.
So basically the idea is the idea of this game actually is not to collect them all.
Okay.
That is the idea of a Pokemon game. Okay. That is not the point of this game. Did you ever play Ingress when it came out?
A little bit. I thought it was kind of stupid because I don't feel like – I live in a not a metropolitan area. So for me, walking around would be just in neighborhoods to neighborhoods, not big sound towns and cities. And also don't really interact with people around my area here. So
that's the thing is you don't have to do either of those technically.
Okay.
Really, like, when it comes to interacting with people, like, you don't have to do any interaction whatsoever. Like, the only person-to-person type of interaction you have is when you are trying to defeat a gym. And even then, there is no direct combat. So basically, the way it works is you collect your Pokemon, you power them up using resources that you get by collecting Pokemon. So essentially, like, okay, so you played that WWE card battle game, right?
Yeah, and I enjoyed that. That was fun.
Okay, so remember the idea of that one where, like, you'd get a new card and you'd feed it to the other cards to make them stronger?
Yes,
I do remember that. Essentially, this one, you're doing a similar thing, except that it's limited to, like, I caught, you know, I have a Pidgey that I'm leveling or whatever. And so I'm going to feed more Pidgeys to that Pidgey. So basically what you do is when you catch them, you get this currency called Stardust. But you also get Pidgey.
Okay.
It takes Stardust and Pidgey Candy to level up a Pidgey. If you want to evolve the Pidgey, you need to use just the Pidgey candy, but it's a lot more of it. So it's like one Pidgey candy and a certain amount of Stardust to level them, or like 12 Pidgey candy to level the Pidgey.
Okay.
So you want to catch multiples of the same kind so that you can level them up. And so it's not about catching them all. It's about catching lots of the same ones so that you can level the ones up that you're trying to level up. Or evolve them, you know, for that matter.
With that, explain to me why a huge group of people decide to stop their cars in the middle of the street and run out into a field, this mass thing that we saw a week ago, to catch one character.
So that was because, one, that was an evolved Pokemon, which are harder to find.
Okay.
And second of all, because, again, like, you do still want to catch unique ones because you get experience bonuses for each unique Pokemon that you catch. And so if you find one like that is a rare spawn, you definitely want to try to catch that because you may not see it again.
Okay.
It's also the thing of depending of your region, because this thing is all based off like Google Map analytics and geolocation stuff.
Well, yes and no.
Thing. But
there was a guy who caught everything that is known to be in North America, which is like all but six Pokemon, and he lives in New York, didn't go any further than Jersey.
Okay, but like, I'm not talking like you have to cross the country kind of thing, but like,
right.
If you have to go near a body of water to find some water-based Pokemon, but at the same time, people have found them in their bathroom.
The thing about the water thing is that when you're near water, you're more likely to find water Pokemon. You don't have to be near water to find them. Like,
yes.
I'm finding water ones just around my house even.
But like, and then like up in open field areas, there's like more likely to find a Pidgeotto or something, or one of the bird ones.
So yeah, that's the other thing I was going to mention too, is like when you're talking about needing to like walk around your neighborhood a bunch, the best thing actually instead to do is go find a park nearby, because parks are designated as tall grass. So if you've ever played a Pokemon game, tall grass is where you catch Pokemon. So there, in this game, parks and anywhere that shows up as tall grass on your map, you have a much higher chance of catching Pokemon there. Even higher if there is a Pokestop there and you attach a lure to it. Or you use another item that's basically like a personal lure called Incense that just attracts the Pokemon to you.
Okay, so what do these in-app Pokecoins do? What is this
those
in-app
purchasing? Those are what you use to buy some of the items. So the items you don't.
I can take over for a little bit. It's from a game design thing. It's not necessarily designed to be broken, which is what many like, you know, pay to win, like, hey, in-app purchases kind of things. The way Nintendo designed it is they want you to get out and walk around, which coworkers who they will do that. You're correct. Correct. Nintendo is just reaping the benefits. Whoever made Ingress, I can't remember the name.
Niantic.
Niantic. They designed it like, hey, they want people to be walking around. If you don't want to do that and you just want to pay money, you can like, it's not always a one-to-one ratio to catch a Pokeball to catch a Pokemon. Sometimes it takes a couple of them, Master Balls and all that. There are ways to make it so to increase your chances of not only finding Pokemon more easily and more often, but also catching them more successfully. And so that's what the in-app purchases do, is sort of speed that up. But I have many a coworker who can do this for free.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, even then, those aren't necessary. Again, if you find a park, those are great places, especially if you can find one that has a number of Pokestops in a general area because the Pokestops refresh after 5 minutes. So what I have done is actually there's a park not too far from here I'm walking laps around the park and hitting the Pokestops. And each Pokestop, whenever you hit the Pokestop and you spin it, you get items. And okay. you get Pokeballs, you'll get healing items, you'll get any number of different items from it. To give you an idea, I've not spent a penny on this game yet. And currently I have a total of 322 out of 350 items.
I don't want to be that guy that whips out my phone in the middle of somewhere and like, the other crazy thing about how
these news stories are portraying this game and even the people who are playing them is these people are retarded. These people are dumb. Because when you're playing this game, first off, turn off the AR. That's the first thing.
That's what I've been told.
Turn off AR and it makes it a lot less of a hassle and makes it a lot less annoying for you and the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because then the Pokemon is always centered on your screen no matter where you're at. The second thing is, when you see a Pokemon in the wild, you can just tap them to go ahead and initiate the battle, and then you can take your time from there. They're not going to go away. They'll run away, like, sometimes after you've tried to catch them, they'll try to run away. Squiddle just linked an amazing iPhone case designed to catch Pokemon, and it's terrible. So you can actually tap them, it initiates the fight, and then you can view the fight at your leisure.
Okay.
Which is why it's crazy, like, people that are driving are, like, getting in wrecks trying to catch Pokemon and all this stuff. Like, I have a friend, so what he's been doing is he actually just puts his phone up on his dash, and if a Pokemon shows up, like, it's kind of in his peripheral vision, if a Pokemon shows up that he wants to catch, he just reaches over, taps it to initiate the fight, and then waits until he can safely, like, at a stoplight or when he's done driving, go ahead and try to catch that Pokemon. But at least it allows you to find it and then initiate it so you've held it.
So you freeze it in time, essentially, until you're ready to. Okay.
Yeah. So the item thing, what I was getting at, though, is like, giving it an idea, I'll do a quick rundown of the items I currently have. And again, I paid no money whatsoever. I have I've caught probably hundreds of Pokemon now. I have 67 potions, 51 super potions, 84 revives, one lucky egg. Which is basically an experience doubler. 28 Pokeballs, 32 Great Balls, 2 Lures, which are the things you use on Pokestops to lure Pokemon in, 55 Raspberries, which you use to make Pokemon easier to catch, and my standard camera and egg incubator. So that's 322 items. I threw away 20 revives just so I would have space to get more items. I have not bought Pokeballs. Actually, what I learned, I went to that park one night, on a Friday night and walked laps around the park. When I got there, I had 30 Pokeballs. When I left there, I had over 100 and I'd caught Pokemon all night the whole time I was there. So again, like if you're smart about using the Pokestops and if you're privileged enough to have a park nearby that has mm-hmm. them, there's no reason whatsoever to have to ever spend money on this game.
Okay.
The only reason I can see spending a little bit of money is if you want to buy an egg incubator. So the eggs, basically, you put it in an incubator, and with the steps that you take, you can eventually hatch them. They come in like 2 kilometer, 5 kilometer, and 10 kilometer, and they hatch into just random Pokemon. There's actually a Pokemon.
Oh, right. You didn't – let's fully explain that. So you can catch you can get Pokemon by eggs by way of – you find an egg at the Pokestop, and then you can hatch it into being a Pokemon. And the way you do it is, I think, with the incubator or without it, you have to walk around a bit. But being that we are all adults with cars, if you drive less than 20 miles an hour,
you have to drive slowly.
Yeah,
it'll work.
So then you can just hatch it that way.
Basically, just have the app running and just drive very slowly around your neighborhood. And you'll just hatch it that way.
So this is why the guy had his phone attached to the Roomba and it was going around in circles so that it would
banned for doing that.
People
are also attaching them to drones and flying.
How are you getting banned? How do you get banned for doing that?
Because you are circumventing the system.
Are they just noticing that you're just going in a circle for hours on end and then they're taking that data and going?
Yeah, they can probably tell like the amount of movement, the speed of movement.
Or maybe just like this person is saying like, oh, I found out how you can fix this. And then one of the employees like, oh, no, you're not supposed to do that. We're going to make an example of you.
So the whole idea of it, basically going back to the Ingress concept, is that once you have powered up your Pokemon enough, you can find gyms around your area. Okay. And the gym is where it kind of correlates to Ingress. So in Ingress, basically there were these towers that you – so – okay, sorry. Let me back up here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Five, you pick a team.
Yep.
And there are three teams, a team Valor, Team Instinct, and Team
Valor?
No, I said Valor. Valor, Instinct, and
the third Mystic. Team Yellow, Mystic, okay. No, now, I just want, before you, like, as a note, there is this weird, like, community of people who don't pick a team at level 5, and they can't go to any gyms and do any of the stuff during the best talk about, but they are still like, oh, yeah, I'm level 15 and whatnot. It's the story of, like, the person who hit level 80 in World of Warcraft as a panda without picking Horde or Alliance.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like,
they're just helping people out.
I've done so little of gyms that, they're not a way to level that I've seen at all. But they're supposed to be the idea of why you're playing this. So you basically level you pick your team, and you're assigned your color based on the team. So red, blue, and yellow. And then there are gyms around the city that you'll see. And you can go and you can challenge that gym. And if it's an opposing, if it's your own team and you defeat the Pokemon that's in there, you can choose, or no, sorry, I don't think you have to defeat. If it's your own gym and it's high enough level that it has open slots, you can choose to throw one of your Pokemon in there to help defend it. So the idea is that you give up one of your Pokemon for a little while, and they help defend that gym for you.
Okay.
If you challenge a gym of the opposite color, you can actually, and you defeat the gym, you can actually take over the gym for your team. And again, then deposit one of your Pokemon in there to help defend it. So that's kind of where the gameplay aspect of it comes in. Because you have this very, like, I went to that park that I was talking about the other day, and there was actually a sign right at the entrance to the park from the parking lot. I shit you not, it was a recruitment sign for Team Instinct. Had the Zapdos on there and everything. It was well done. And then fucking all over it was graffitied with Team Valor, Team Valor, Team Valor, all over the sign. It was amazing.
I don't know what to say about that. This is
awesome. So, like, there's that level of just, like, nastiness. Also, there's just some really awesome, well, really, really good, like, quality stuff. So the White House is a gym in Washington, D.C. And there are people go on the tours. You can actually be outside the building on the fence kind of thing and try and vie for the gym. But there was one point where the owner of the, like, one of the team of the gym or whatever had a character named Barack Obama with an onyx.
Barack Obama, that's...
Yeah.
That's good.
It's doubly really good. I don't play this game, but man, the stories coming out of it are really good.
Is it bad that the thing that bothers me about that is the fact that he's level 23 and his Onyx is only 503 CP?
Sure.
CP is basically like how powerful they are. At a level 23, he should have one closer to... He should have the ability to have Pokemon closer to a CP of like 1500 or higher.
Okay.
Maybe even closer to 2000.
Like, don't get me wrong. I want to like this. I want to like this concept.
Yeah, I mean, like, I will probably play this after, like, another update or something. But, like, as of right now, it just seems like a bad game. Like, in terms of, like, the design focus of it. Like, hey, I'm spending a lot of time.
That's the thing I didn't mention yet is when you do the gym battles, that's the only battling you do in the game. The gym battles literally consist of you tap the screen to attack. And you just do a normal, like, you know, tackling attack or whatever. You hold the button to do your special ability, and you swipe to dodge.
Mm-hmm. There's no water Pokemon, beat fire Pokemon, beat...
No, like, there actually is. Okay. With your special ability, it does take your type into consideration.
So I would love it if they would... Do your characters don't learn, like, dig, or they don't learn these different things like you would normally...
They don't learn anything than what they already come with, yeah.
Well, why?
Because it's a bad game right now.
Why? Because that's...
Because I think the idea is to do exactly what it did, and that is to attract the masses. And so that had overly simplified. I mean, it's the same reason why you have one stat.
It's a free game, and people get to live their childhood dreams of being a Pokemon master, which is awesome. I'm very happy for them. I hope they are safe doing so. But as of right now, it's not for me.
I'm very content with my Flareon, who is my starting Pokemon.
Right on. I'm glad you're having fun.
I think my cats would freak out if they thought there are Pokemon in my house right now.
What if there are and you just can't tell?
There are Pokemon all around.
Well, then, by from what I'm hearing, by the good Christian church going fellas, I have demons that are now inside of my house, and I must play the game to purge the demons, but don't get pulled into the game.
That reminds me, probably the best story that's come out of this Pokemon Go stuff is that Westboro Baptist Church is a Pokemon gym. And so there are people who are taking over that gym and naming their Pokemon things intended to piss off the Westboro Baptist people. Those people have then adopted Jigglypuff as their mascot to fight the,
That works really well with the Baptist church, in that, like, all their news stuff puts me to sleep.
It was like to fight like the vile Clefairy that was running their gym at the time. It was amazing.
Good times.
That's Pokemon Go. It's not a good game, but it is a fun time waster. And you know what? Honestly, it has gotten me to go outside already more than I would otherwise. Like, I took a trip to a park by myself.
Nice.
One evening. Like, I took the kids to a park, a different park, before that. Ulterior motives. I did go to play Pokemon. Mm-hmm.
But guys are going out to parks.
Right, yeah. But I also, like, went out to a park on my own just to go fucking, and I walked multiple miles just walking in loops around this park playing Pokemon and, you know, got some exercise in the process. So, like, I see nothing wrong with that. You know, if it's getting people outside who otherwise wouldn't be, who cares if they're just staring at their phones? At least they're getting some sun.
Right on.
That's fair.
All right. So that's the one thing. That's one of the two things you've been playing during, well, Overwatch as well, but we talked about that. What's the other thing?
Playing, this one is also a very obscure game.
In indie, I hear, right?
It's more obscure than the last one. Mm-hmm. I can't say this one's indie. This company is owned by...
Oh, right. They did do that. They joined up with another company.
Yeah.
That's a small, scrappy team.
Yeah. These guys, you know, they make some real think projects. So I've been playing World of Warcraft.
I've noticed.
So they released the pre-expansion patch.
Oh, okay.
The new expansion comes out in August 30th, I think, 20th, somewhere around there. Late August.
All right.
So they released the patch now that is leading up to that.
Wait, I thought everybody was getting hyped because the big patch was coming out.
It was. It came out on Tuesday.
But that's not the expansion?
No.
No, it isn't.
Expansion, every time they're going to do a new expansion, generally about a month or so prior to the expansion, they release what they call the pre-patch. And what that is it puts into play any class changes, any profession changes, basically any changes to the game that are not inherent to the new features added to the expansion. So, like, in this one, for instance, demon hunters are not in yet. Artifact weapons are not in yet. You can't level past 100 yet. But what they did put in is they have completely overhauled pretty much everybody.
What's a demon hunter?
It's Illidan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, you can be Illidan now. Like, you can be that. And they're really fucking cool. And I'll get into that maybe after the game is launched.
Yeah, because it's come back in August. All right.
Yeah. But in this, what they've basically done is they've done what they called, so I don't know if you remember, like, or if you paid attention at all before, but, like, an expansion or two ago, they did a stat squish.
They simplified a lot of stats, right? Was that what you're talking about?
Well, I mean, like, they dropped the numbers down a lot. Mm-hmm. It's like people were doing, like, millions of damage per hit. And so they dropped all the numbers down, dropped the health down, everything else. Like, so they did all that before. Now what they did is what they're calling ability pruning. Along with an item or a stat, pruning as well. So with a stat pruning, they got rid of a lot of extra stats. They got rid of, like, spirit and I think multi-strike they got rid of as well.
Okay.
They got rid of a lot of kind of tertiary stats or even some secondary stats. And they very, very simplified, very much simplified the stats. In some cases, they kind of folded some stats into other stats. So, like, having this stat will also give you some of this as well. They also did, like I said, some ability printing. So what they did essentially is that, you know, we have had quite a few WoW expansions at this point. And with each new expansion, they add new abilities. So by this point, we have a fuckload of abilities. A lot of them overlapping with others or just never being used, having very circumstantial uses in a lot of cases. So they've gone through and they've pulled a bunch of those out. So generally a lot of classes are seeing that where before you would regularly use 12 plus hotkeys, you might use like 6 now.
Okay, nice.
They've made changes to the talent system as well to kind of reflect these changes, and kind of give you options of getting some abilities if you feel like you don't have enough, through your talents instead.
Does it feel like a resurgence to like when WoW was maybe not like vanilla, but also like, you know, the first expansion, maybe like when it was just starting off of, there are certain things that only certain classes can do. And whereas like as that, they pushed to more homogenize all the classes so that like they could all more or less do each other's stuff. Like, so like two or three classes could all cancel out of fear, for example.
Right.
Whereas now like, well, it's you worry about warlocks because they're the ones who fear and you need.
So I think that's the direction they're trying to go with it. So one of the ideas behind their ability pruning and their change, because I mean, like I said, they're making some pretty drastic changes to a lot of classes and a lot of the specializations of some of the classes. And I think the way they put it is what they're trying to do is they're trying to give each specialization of every class its identity back. So they're making changes to make that specialization of that class feel unique. Discipline priests before, you know, they were healers just like any other healer. The difference what they had before was that they tended to be more of a mitigation healer as opposed to a direct healer. So you did lots of shields and damage reduction stuff. Whereas now they're actually changing discipline priests. They are not a main healer anymore. They are more of a damage dealer who does some off healing.
Okay.
So they're essentially making them kind of damage healers. So that when you do damage, you heal somebody. Because of it, you're never going to be like a main healer. But you'll be very useful as a secondary healer because you do help pad the damage and you also help out your healers as well. They dramatically changed them even from when they first launched, because when they first were doing this in beta, the way that they were going with it was this idea of like a balance sort of thing between the light and the dark, where you would have your dark abilities that would kind of boost your heals. But if you went too far, basically you had an insanity meter. If you went too far, you went insane, like you would get some kind of a debuff, something bad would happen to you. So that's another thing they've done with a lot of the classes is they've changed that around the resources. A lot of classes don't have mana anymore that used to have them.
I just want to say, I remember a time of playing World of Warcraft when it was very simple to understand what you're supposed to do and what's going on.
That's the thing.
This sounds
super complex.
Yes.
And it's actually gone back to what you're remembering.
Okay.
Playing your class generally is very simple to understand what you're supposed to do.
You know, and I'll say, if my account hadn't gotten hacked years ago and I lost everything because they closed my account down, then I probably would have gone back, because I had a level 80 character or 60 character or something like that. I'd probably go back and try to do something, but I just don't want to go through all that again. And I don't know. It's I hope it works out for them.
I played a bit in the beta as well, and then I've played since it's launched. And generally, for the most part, the changes they made have been for the better. It feels a little weird right now because one of the things they're adding in the expansion, I'll just quickly touch on this because it does affect what's happening now, is they are adding what they're calling artifact weapons. And what those are is the mechanical side of it is it's this weapon that you get that rather than like where before you would kind of upgrade your gear through doing dungeons, doing raids, and you get better and better gear as you play through that expansion through the content. That's still going to be the case for every other piece of gear. The difference is with your weapon, you will always have that weapon from the time you get it, which is an hour or two after you've started questing, through the rest of this expansion, you will have this artifact weapon. The way there's a progression with it is it has its own kind of a sort of a talent system, similar to WoW's talent. It has a progression of like you choose this ability, then that ability, then that ability, and you kind of move through the tree or whatever. And that then enhances and buffs a lot of your abilities and makes you more powerful, similar but more interesting than where before you would just get a more powerful weapon that might have a cool effect on it.
Now, question on that note, since this is something that, at least while the leveling process, you're going to be using this weapon a lot. Mm-hmm. I remember maybe last expansion in the 1-4, they had something in the same effect as like transmutations for Guild Wars 2 of like, hey, you can cosmetically reskin this weapon. So all the stats stay the same, but it has a new look to it.
Yeah.
That's still around, correct?
Yeah, so they added that a little while back, transmogrification.
Oh, okay.
So what they've done with this expansion, actually, and this is in this pre-patch as well, mm-hmm. is they have overhauled it, and it feels a lot more like Guild Wars 2. Nice. You actually have a database, essentially. As soon as something enters your inventory, it immediately gets added to your database.
Oh, kind of like the wardrobe system, right?
Yeah. Okay. It works a lot like the wardrobe system. The difference is that you do have to go to a person to go and change it out. You can't just do it whenever, wherever. It does cost gold, but it's a meager amount of gold. It's like 100 yeah. something gold, which is nothing in that game.
My main question with the artifact weapon is like, as you make these changes to it and invest talents and evolve it, does it change on its own, or is it always just the same looking one?
No, it doesn't. But there are a number of different skins that you can get for it by doing things in the world.
Okay.
So like one might be awarded by doing this world quest. One might be awarded by getting, you know, a certain tier in mythic dungeon running or something. One might be given by just completing a certain story quest or something. I'm not sure exactly how they're given out, but there's at least half a dozen different skins, if not more, that we know of, that are going to be in there for you to change the skin of that weapon. And on top of that, they can also be transmogrified to look like anything else as well.
Sweet.
So you can always change the look of it. You can change the look of any piece of gear in the game.
Is the whole like tier of armor thing still a thing?
So there are going to be still tiers of armor, but one of the things they've gotten rid of are set bonuses.
Okay.
So like I think the idea is that way you're not required to have again like that one set. Everybody's wearing the same set.
Oh, okay.
The idea of that is going away a lot, especially with the transmogrification. You just look like however you want to look. I mean, if you want to be this fucking, like, maxed out, like, you're doing the highest tier rating and you look like a farmer, you can do that.
Okay, right? That's kind of cool.
Completely change, you know, look however you want to look. The only restrictions there are is that your gear that you transmogrify has to be the same type of gear. So if you wear a plate, you're always transmogrified to plate.
Oh, okay. You can't, like, your weapon, or stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Your weapon can only be the same type of weapon. So if you're wielding a two-handed mace, you might be able to transmog to like a two-headed axe or something, maybe, but you wouldn't be able to transmogify it to like a dagger.
That'd be kind of funny, though.
Yeah,
that would be funny on like the PVE side, but on the PVP side, that'd be funny for one side of that encounter, not the other.
One of the things, they're doing a couple things on the PVP side that are actually some really good changes as well. One of those is that they are finally, after fucking, what, like 12, 11 years, something like that now, the game's been out. They're finally separating balancing between PvE and PvP.
Wow.
And the way they're doing that is they are...
Bold new territory. Bold new territory.
Yeah, right. So one of the ways they're doing that is that they are equalizing gear. So gear gives you a...
Huh, yeah, okay.
Like, you do still get a little bit of an edge if you have higher tier gear, but nothing compared to the way it was before. You can come in fresh, and you'll be able to compete just like anybody else.
It's the Guild Wars thing of, like, they made everyone level 80.
Right,
and just,
yeah.
like, okay, the gear yeah. was already maxed out there.
Right,
but
right.
for Warcraft, it's, yeah, the gear is definitely
yeah,
the biggest.
Yeah, if you're trying to come into doing Battlegrounds or doing any kind of PvP, like, halfway through an expansion, you're fucked. There's no way you could do it. So they're changing that. The other way they're also changing it in helping with the balancing is that so now you have a separate tier of talents that are PvP talents. So those are what affect your PvP stuff, not the normal talents. Or they affect your stuff on top of the normal ones, but in if there's anything in the PvE stuff that does affect your PvP, it'll actually note in there that it's like a reduced amount or something. So that's, again, like a nice way for them to be able to balance around PvP and not affect PvE and vice versa.
With every expansion that comes out, the question always has to get asked, is this the final expansion for WoW? Are they actually working on something new?
No.
Could it benefit them to release something new? Or are they doing good with how they're running right now?
I think they're absolutely going to be working on another expansion. They're going to keep doing this.
Okay.
Whether it's a good idea or not is maybe the question. And whether it's going to be easy. Like the biggest concern I have is with the artifact weapons being what they are and how they're having to balance the entire game around those artifact weapons, I imagine it's going to be a balancing nightmare when the next expansion comes around and we don't have artifact weapons. And now how do you balance around that? Not only that, but with, you know, with the artifact weapons that we're getting, like the idea of the artifact weapon is it is some iconic weapon that it was wielded by some very important person. Like, for instance, I don't know how into, like, Warcraft lore you guys are. You familiar with Tyrion Fordring?
Mm-hmm.
His weapon, the Ashbringer?
So they actually get found? Oh, no, they get found in, like, yeah, okay.
So Rep Paladins get that.
Sure.
They get the Ashbringer. Frost Death Knights get the Lich King's sword. It gets split into two swords, and you get that sword. Like, there are these, like, fucking iconic weapons that these classes are getting. Like, after this, where the fuck do you go?
Yeah. Back in time? No, they already, like, went back in time.
Like,
crap.
Like, just like a power standpoint. Like, where do you go from here? Like, how do you make the players feel even more powerful?
They go to the future, to StarCraft.
I was gonna say, like, you can't even say they go to space.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, they got Outlands.
Like, we've gone to the past, we've gone to space, like...
I mean, really, like, there's the one place they still haven't seen them go, is the Dream.
That's in this expansion.
God bless America.
The Emerald Dream is, so that's the other thing they're also adding as well. They're adding, so in the last expansion, they had garrisons. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of your personal...
You'd go into this MMO game to spend all your time in this instant stuff area by yourself.
Yeah, basically, you'd send out guys out on missions, and they'd bring back rewards, and... You would never have to worry about, like, gathering, because everything was gathered within your garrison for your professions and all that. Even if you didn't have that profession, like, my Death Knight was not a miner, but I always had way more minerals than I needed because I had a mine of my own that I could mine out of. So with this expansion, they're changing the idea of that. The garrisons are not going to be a thing. Those are still from the old expansion. They're not bringing those over. Instead, what you're going to have a class hall, which is a similar idea to the garrison. The idea is that you are leading your class hall. Like, if you're playing Death Knight. If you're playing Death Knight, you are going to be the leader of the Death Knights. And I'm going to use an example because this is the only one I played a little bit into. So the class hall, again, is an iconic place for your class. For the Death Knights, I don't know if you guys have played since they added the Death Knights, but remember the starting zone?
Yeah, the floating necropolis thing.
Floating necropolis thing.
Yeah.
That is your class hall. You are now in charge of that thing.
Sure, great.
One of the ways they're changing it is that it is a class hall, not your garrison. So you see every other Death Knight player when you're in your class hall. In terms of, like, narrative, you are the leader of it, but so is everybody else according to themselves as well. Which works out. Like, you get to see the other players, but you also feel important. But, like, there are cool fucking lore things you're doing. Like, as a Death Knight, you are really building the Four Horsemen. Like, you are going out and recruiting new Four Horsemen, because the last ones were defeated in Extramus. So, like, you're going, and, like, one of the first things you do is the Lich King beckons you. And you actually go back to Ice Crown, go to,
Citadel,
and walk up to the Lich King, and he's like, this is what I want you to do. I want you to rebuild the Four Horsemen for me. And they're going to help on this mission to defeat the invasion.
Not Arthas.
No, it's Bronan Broat. It's Bro Dragon Man. Bro.
Four Dragon, yeah.
Four Dragon. Hey, for not having played that game in years, I know that, like, secondary characters.
Yeah, Volvar Four Dragon is now the Lich King, and yeah, he has you go there, and, like, yeah, like, you
the,
go.
The dude
and
that,
like,
beat up all the dragons in Stormwind for that repeatable quest thing.
Yeah. And you're not bringing back the old Four Horsemen. You are building a new Four Horsemen.
Sweet.
Like, one of the first things you do is you go and get Ner'zhul, and you resurrect him as your first Four Horsemen. Yeah. I believe it's Ner'zhul.
I don't know if that's a great idea.
They're like, yeah, the orcs are going to be pissed about this, but he'll be a good asset for you, so go get him.
Wow. All right, Death Knights don't give a damn.
Big shit they're doing this. There is some crazy lore shit that's happening. Okay. Jaina has deserted.
The Alliance?
Yeah.
Everyone? Okay.
She left Dalaran. She's like, you know what? Because basically, like, everyone else is like, hey, we need to work together to fight off the Legion. And Jaina's like, something happens in the invasion stuff, the lead up, the intro quest. And Jaina's basically like, you know, fuck the Horde. I'm not gonna help them. If you guys are gonna help them, then you're on your own. I'm out. And we're like, no, we're gonna help them. So she's like, peace. And she just takes off.
Was there ever an event in WoW that brought Alliance and Horde together?
Oh, there's been numerous things where they've tried, and it's not generally.
Okay. I think that the one that's most notable was the Scarab, the bug thing down south in the Encourage.
Okay. Yeah. It was big in, I think, Cataclysm with Deathwing.
Okay.
A lot of it there. So I can give one big lore spoiler here, if you guys are okay with it, and anybody in the audience. It's something you see, like, the very beginning of this expansion, but it is considered a spoiler.
So I'm going to go on limb. Thrall dies.
Not as far as I know.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So, real quick, spoiler for anybody who doesn't want to hear this, skip ahead, like 30 seconds, if that. Okay. So... No, in the intro stuff, Varian Wrynn dies. Leader of Stormwind.
Huh.
I don't know how, because that's the event that happens that makes Jaina snap. It's something that the Horde did or didn't do during that invasion part. They cut away basically on the beta when you get to that point, and then cut to so Anduin is now running things. Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. Like, they're doing some big story stuff. And he's not the only one, from what I've seen, who's a big character that is no longer with us.
Huh.
So, again, like, I'm curious. Like, it almost feels like they're working slowly at maybe, like, killing off the old guard.
And well, maybe. I mean, like, it's the thing of, like, how many times have we killed Illidan?
Well, okay, there is that too. Yeah, Illidan is back. That is
so. It's neat that they're doing this stuff. At the same time, it's like, well, they might bring him back. Who knows?
It's. I feel like with this type of instance,
yeah, like you're probably right.
But he's a dude. Like, he's not like some fucking crazy. Like, he's just a dude. So he's probably gone.
Anybody from the original like RTS game is still fair game to come back to life. But anybody from WoW is probably
sure. Yeah, like Garrosh is probably not coming back. He was killed.
Arthas might come back.
Arthas is super dead. I don't think he's coming back. Arthas is super gone. But then again, I thought Illidan was too, so who knows? Yeah. Everything is up for whatever when you start throwing time travel into it.
Oh, yeah. Time travel's so good.
Like, I don't know.
It's so anyway, bad, so, but so it's so good.
The stuff they've done, it's worked out generally for the better. I'm super excited for the expansion. One of the things I will note for anybody who plays WoW, if they're not familiar with this or not aware of this, so like when you get Legion, you get a character boost up to 100. I would highly recommend anybody who's not sure about what they want to play to wait. Don't use that yet. And the reason I say that is because with Legion, one of the things they're adding is a character trial. So if you think, like, I think I might want to use my boost on a mage, but I'm not sure if I'm going to enjoy playing a mage. So what they'll do is they'll let you make your mage, and essentially what you do is you start out at the Legion invasion stuff, and you go, I believe it's up until you get your artifact weapon, and you can play that entire bit as a trial and decide, okay, do I like this character? Do I like how they play? And then if you do, then you go ahead and use your boost and continue leveling. If you don't, then you just get rid of that, what you just did, and maybe try it on a different one or something.
So I at first thought it was like a court scene. But I was like, what? Oh, okay. Oh, but no. Character, yeah. Okay, trial. Okay, so that makes...
Try out the character, do a test drive, see if you're going to enjoy it. So you don't feel like you wasted that boost on a character that you didn't end up liking. Sweet. And honestly, that's a fair chunk of content they're allowing you to test it with, too. That's, I mean, it's basically almost the equivalent of an entire level, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're 10 levels to an expansion, that's a good amount. I mean, you're looking at least multiple hours of content there. They're giving you to try out for free, before you go in and plop that down. And I believe that'll be in for any subsequent, character boosts you might pay for on top of that. That's just a feature now. But yeah, I think I talked a lot about WoW.
We've talked a lot about WoW. A lot about Pokemon. I think we need to take just call me music. I'll throw in, take a quick break, and then we'll talk about what myself and Squiddle have been playing, and then maybe a little news topic to finish it off, and that'll be it. So we'll be right back after this. And we're back. And this seems this seems like an episode of Star Trek. Like, in that, like, there's the episode where just like people keep disappearing on the ship, and
nobody remembers that the other people are gone. It's just,
I'm not sure why it feels like that. I don't know, but you and I are here, Squiddle, right?
We are here. We are here.
Yeah,
we're here to entertain
And talk about what we've been playing.
That's right.
Which, at least for me, hasn't been, I've been playing stuff, but it hasn't been a lot of new things. There hasn't been a lot, like, new games that have been coming out that we haven't already talked about. Overwatch and Pokemon Go have been, like, two big hot things. I've been playing a little bit of one of those, not Pokemon Go. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff on the horizon. No Man's Sky is right around the corner for August.
Yep.
There's a couple like indie games like Quadrilateral Cowboy I've talked about multiple times on multiple shows in the past. It's coming out very soon, and I am very excited.
Yes, I remember when we went to PAX 2014, 2013, 20 was the one we all met up at.
I don't remember. I think it was 2014 was the East.
2014.
One.
I remember you seeing that game there and was very excited to see it. I think, yeah, I remember that, the excitement.
It's a game about programming and heists,
yes.
But it's going to be so good for me. Going to love it.
So, and I'm almost worried that No Man's Sky has been too overhyped. I hope it's not, and I hope it's actually really good.
I'm definitely going to get it. I think I might be getting it on PlayStation 4. I mean, like, it's a thing of, like, it doesn't matter what version I get it on, because it's going to be a single player game. Like, the odds of finding another person are going to be so very, like, small. I mean, like, it might be the thing of, well, we can arrange a meetup to meet in this star cluster on this thing, and it's like, meet, just fly around on the equator going different directions, and soon, like, we'll hopefully meet. But
okay,
that would be, like, a meetup you'll have to take, like, weeks to arrange, and it might work cross-platform. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I did drop a grand on my new video card. Ended last year to play it on PS4. So hopefully I want to see those spectacular graphics that are polygonal and very cel-shaded still. I don't know. We'll
see. It's the thing, like, the last game I spent a lot of time on my PlayStation 4 was probably Bloodborne, which, like, granted, I played a lot of that after the release. Like, I played a lot of that game.
Yeah.
But,
you know, I think coming up, probably, if not already going to happen, it's going to come up soon, my renewal for PS Plus. I'm probably not going to do that because,
like, I haven't been keeping track of any of the free games because nothing's jumped out. Like, no one's been talking about it on the interwebs of, like, hey, here's this hot game that you need to pick up for free.
Yeah.
Like, no, I already own all those either on PlayStation or on Steam. That's weird. But I mean, like, it's once fall hits, we'll hopefully get, I want to say, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
Is that, I think that's coming out this year, or at least they talked about it more in a it's still coming out tone.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of it being delayed, but like any good
that's the only game that is like a PlayStation only game that is to mind. But that, again, single player, as far as I know, doesn't require PS Plus.
Yep. So, and that's kind of Yeah, I just don't play multiple player games that much on there. And so that $50 I could buy a new game with that money. So, you know, we'll see.
But yeah, I guess, what have you been playing as of late, Squiddle?
As of late, actually, I've been replaying. I replayed over the last two weekends, including today, the entirety of the Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Sweet.
To kind of get back into the mindset for the one coming out. And one of the things that was kind of a bummer for me is when we had the Steam Summer Sale, I was really hoping to be able to combine my Missing Link, the secondary part they put out, with the first part they put out in just the director's cut. And for whatever reason, because I spent money on the Missing Link – and I spent money on the original game, I still now need to pay them $20 to basically put it all together in one little package. And I didn't want to do that. So unfortunately, I still have the old boss battles that you have to fight. You can't do it stealthily. Because I think they redid the boss battles for the director's cut, so they weren't done out of that separate studio. And they made it so you didn't have to switch over. So in the middle of the game, I had to remember where Missing Link took place, exit out of that game, launch that other game up, do that one. Once I did that, go back into my other game, and then continue from there.
I should really give – because like when that game first came out, like before the director's cut even, I did give it a try. I really enjoyed the first – like the Chicago level. Really didn't like the boss battle. But I mean, like that's everyone talked about that.
Yeah.
And then like spent maybe an hour in China or Hong Kong. And then just like, no, I'm done. And maybe it's just like the momentum slowed down enough to the point, but I should try that game again. It's the thing of, I too wanted to play a Deus Ex game right after Summer Games Done Quick ended, but it was the original Deus Ex.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like, man, I just want to, so replay that. Get God,
that guy who did that run was fucking hilarious. Oh, he was so good.
It's Deus Ex is a great game. The original one. It's. I mean, I'm sure. The new one, like the new ones have been really good. But I really like the original Deus Ex.
So, but in my, the reason I was playing through it again wasn't just for the storyline though. I decided to play it at the hardest difficulty. So that's what I was doing. I was playing it at the give me Deus Ex mode of difficulty levels.
Nice.
So that was fun to try to do that because, actually I had started it last year and I got back into it and I forgot. I was like, why can't I kill these guys? What's going on? And then halfway through it, I'm like, What difficulty did I put this on? Oh, that's right. I put this at the hardest difficulty. And so I was like, okay, that's why everyone was so hard to kill. So then it was like, oh, okay, well, that clicked. And I just went through it, the rest of it, but that was fun. So I did that.
I found it kind of interesting with we've talked previously about like you're wanting to get into a game like XCOM. And it's like you wouldn't want to play that unless you turn on cheats. And yet, here you are with Human Revolution, mm-hmm. where you're wanting to play on the hardest difficulty. And I just find I'm maybe not trying to dissect like what that means, but just I find it an interesting observation for the psyche of a person who likes playing video games.
So when I originally played Deus Ex, I did use a trainer or back then a cheater to get through the whole game, or and just to do the storylines because I wanted to hear the story. I wanted to go back through it again. I could cheat at any time that I wanted to, but I really wanted to go back to the game and see if I could just have fun with it. It wasn't about getting through it as fast as possible, get the storyline. I knew the storyline, so it's not like really I had to learn anything new, but just can I have fun with this? And so I just went through it and took my time. And surprisingly enough, I guess I'm still pretty good at video games where even at the hardest difficulty, it wasn't that difficult for their mode that they put it on, just the tougher, more bullet spongy, you know, type thing. And that's pretty much that everything I really noticed. And there were some things I never noticed in the past where like, instead of just hacking terminals, I didn't realize you could get an automatic unlocking device on AUG and just throw it onto a computer. And then after a short circuit, you can get into it. So there's some things I never really noticed before because I was going too fast through the game. So kind of had more of a little bit more fun experience this time.
Nice. Actually, I'm kind of curious. Like, one of my favorite things with the original Deus Ex was the hacking side of it and like, the the ICE breaker and all that. It was a rather simplistic way of doing a hacking sequence. You weren't, like, making tubes flow, like, in Bioshock or something. But it was just however good it was, you had, like, if you were bad at hacking, you had very little time to try and break it. And it was a very tense thing.
It still is. It still is.
They still get
way.
That tension? Nice.
Yeah, because there are times where you have, you'll start off at your node, and then you have maybe one or two nodes you could go off to get to the final node you need to get to. And you can either just capture the next node from your home node, or you could set your home node to defend, because if the virus gets to your home node, it takes it longer to essentially hack you, to trace you back and lock you out. Or what you could do is just hit your smaller nodes to get closer. So each node you go to is about 50% chance of detection, 12% chance of detection. you know, so you're basing that on. But if you do the secure your own, it's 20 or 25% chance of detection. So you kind of roll the dice of how far do you have to go? How long is it going to take you to hack this? Because as you progress your hacking skills, which through augmentations in the game can make that go faster, or make that easier for you, however you want to look at it. Plus, you also get the ability to nuke nodes or nuke little points. So you could basically take them over without having to, with no detection whatsoever. Yeah. And I think one of the most fun that I have with that game is when you hit one that does a security deduction from the main hack node or from where they're trying to come from you, you can actually hack them like they're trying to hack you instead of actually going to the endpoint, and then you basically unlock it that way. So there's different ways of doing it. It's kind of fun. It's short, but it's kind of fun. But yeah, the tenseness is there still.
I'm curious. There is the Deus Ex Go that is coming out that it will be like tied in with Mankind Divided somehow, but like that the Go series, not the Pokemon Go, but the Deus Ex, the Lara Croft, the
true Go, the original Go,
the original Go, the OG,
the OGO
series of iOS of phone and tablet games.
Yes.
The Deus Ex version of that does seem to be like similar in nature and style to the, how the hacking works in the newer Deus Ex games.
Yeah.
Is that something where like, have you tried those? Have you looked at that? Like, yeah, that might be a neat phone game compared to this Pokemon crap.
Oh, I'm going to get that game.
Okay. All right.
Did
you play the Lara Croft one? And
yep.
The two
I played the Hitman one. I played the Lara Croft one. I will play this one as well.
Sweet.
I definitely enjoy those. Enjoyed those games. So, Deus Ex. It was still fun to play again. And I actually went down different routes to get different achievements because I knew what I did before. So this way I took different decision choices to kind of just spread out my achievements.
Play around some, yeah. Games are fun.
So, the second one I would love to talk about is, a while ago I asked you about this Dr. Langskov game that I had in my library.
Dr. Langskov, the Tiger and the Terribly Cursed Emerald, a Whirlwind Heist.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really good title.
Oh man. And so you were like, yeah, it was a free game I told you about like last year. I was like, okay, well, all right. Well, I sat down and I was like, well, I don't want to buy Stanley Parable, but this is from the guy who did Stanley Parable. So let's give it a shot. And okay, it's free. So I started playing it and my God, that was like 35 minutes went by, beat the game. That was such a good game.
It's funny. It's well written.
Yeah.
It's not like most other games. In that, like, it's you're giggling and snickering, and yeah. You feel drawn into the game.
Well,
which is something that walking simulators don't do very well.
Yeah, I feel like I was with a friend in a game, like almost as if I was playing a let's play together with somebody else, but narrative driven enough to where it wasn't ambiguous. I felt drawn into it, and I really liked that. So I thought, well, if this was how this was, let's take a look. Let's do Stanley Parable. Why not? Let's give it a shot. So I bought it and I spent 5 hours straight playing that game. Two in the morning is when I think I said I got to go to bed because I got to work in the morning.
You went through so many doors, made so many decisions.
I would love for there to be a counter somewhere that would tell me, and I think there is in the game somewhere, like how many doors I went through or how many steps I took. But I just have
one question.
Yes.
Did you find the broom closet ending?
Yes.
Wasn't it the best?
I think I did. Did I? Yes. It's where you go in the room and he just locks you in there. You can't get out anymore, right?
It's you can always get out, but you just stay in there and he keeps talking about how this isn't an ending and you need to leave.
Yes. Yes. I think I did almost everything in the game. And it was what was most annoying and beautiful at the same time. Was that I could swear that no matter what I did, something always changed in that game. It felt like every single time there was something subtle. And I did it so much, I got to the point where I memorized. I knew if I went – I was memorizing the paths in the game and what the triggers would be. And after about 5 hours, I did everything that game, I think,
nice.
That I found so, that game has to offer. Everything except for I spent 2 hours after that 5 hours – trying to figure out how to stop the final countdown. if there is a way to stop the final countdown. I looked on the – I delved in the interwebs in trying to find if there's a way to stop the final countdown. I swear there's somewhere. It has to be there. And I read that he said he would let people know if – or something. But I – still, it drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. I want to find out what it is.
There is one thing that, like, you, I'm guessing you haven't done, but at the same time, just look this up on YouTube. Okay. There is the part where the narrator just, like, makes up a new game for you to play where you're just pressing a button to save a baby.
Yep.
If you end up doing that for 4 hours, there is something that unlocks. Please just watch that on YouTube.
I did.
Not just to you, but to the listener. Yes. If you're in – oh, cool. It's a little like they give you something for the effort you put in, but it's still like it's 4 hours of crying baby and buzzer. Oh,
but the funny thing is I love how it anticipated somebody making a way around it. And all of a sudden now you got to do two different things. I was like, oh my God, this is insane.
It's great.
Absolutely insane. Oh, I loved it.
My favorite part about that game though, it's so well rounded and does a lot of neat things, but it's gotta be that museum that you sort of like,
yes,
you stumble upon. But just like
all the stuff used in the game and the different things, and
but like not even that. It's also like, hey, here's the final product of this like wall of like copiers and desks and all that, and then here are the two previous like takes on it, the previous drafts. Yeah. And I think that's also a really neat thing, just like from designing it, and like you get to see how the like it evolved into what it was now.
One of the things that really caught me that I actually found when I was searching for something about in the game, and I didn't realize it, I didn't even think of trying it, and I saw it was one of the parts you can – when you go into the main office to go talk to your boss.
Oh, yeah. I guess we should say spoilers for this game.
I guess
also,
so.
I mean, it's a really old game, and you should play it. Like, it's actually free. Like, the original mod of it is free. Like, the final version available for purchase on Steam is – much better looking, and I think a little bit more fleshed out. But yeah, it's a good game, even if you.
And the things that we talk about here are like 1/900th of all the fun ball things you're going to find in that game.
Also, but, you should find the broom closet ending. It's so good.
Yes, it is. Anyway, so yeah, you could go into your boss's office, but then immediately back out, and the narrator is stuck in there. And I was like, that's amazing! I love that. It's the best thing ever. Oh. So much craziness.
Mm-hmm.
So much craziness. So, that was a great game. That was a very fun.
I'm glad to hear you finally took the plunge on those.
Yes. So, and now I'm getting ready to do the beginner's guide or beginner's game, or what is it that I just purchased?
I want to say part, maybe not all the team that did the Stanley Parable, but like the designer, but yeah, some of the people who did that did Stanley Parable, and also Dr. Langskov also did the Beginner's Guide, which is
the same narrator.
Yeah, okay.
It's a narrative video game from it's a narrative video game from David Warden. Warden? Warden?
Sure.
Anyway, so it looks fun.
The Stanley Parable. There we go.
I just want more of that. I want more of whatever that is. So I'm hoping this will give me a little bit more of whatever that is.
This last sentence in the description, it tells the story of a person struggling to deal with something they do not understand.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
So, so games.
Video games and cat purring on Mike.
Yeah, my cat is harassing me to pet him.
I don't think the listeners will mind. I certainly don't.
I need to not appear. You need to be brushed. Go away.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, so games. Not really a game I've been playing. I will say it's more of, we're going to talk Pokemon. Well, then I'm going to talk about the app I've been using recently on my device here.
Okay.
And I've been in right now, I just want to say, Thurb, I am your number one fan.
Oh, God, I knew this was coming.
Okay, I am your number one fan right now. So I've been doing Famous.
Famous.af? Is that?
Famous as fuck. Famous.af.
Okay, great.
I'm pretty sure that's why they got that domain there.
It's a pretty good domain.
Durin is my number one fan, and I'm his number one fan. And it's just fun. I don't find it like crazy addicting. I just go in here every now and then and try to buy people.
It's like on the one side, it's the weird thing of like the numbers always go up, so there's really no there's no gamification to it, but it's fun. Right now, it's just a fun thing, and it's free, I presume, right? It's just
it is free.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, it's free. And like for instance, I was the top fan. I am still currently the top fan. I need to change that hopefully soon of Team GFB Radio.
Nice.
So I was for 2 days and 13 hours. I was the top fan.
The worldwide top fan.
Worldwide top fan, exactly. So anyway, but it's fun. It's a fun, stupid little thing where you try to people you follow, you could become their fan and then invite them to be a part of hashtag anime or hashtag God or hashtag dank memes.
The dankest of memes.
The dankest of memes.
All the rude boys.
Yeah. Gosh. It's fun, stupid stuff. I absolutely love it.
Nice. I'm always for people having a good time with silly games, especially when like there's like even if someone usurps you, you just get all the like the currency that you spent to get that and more, and then you just buy them right back if you want.
It's great. It's pretty good. And I guess
good times.
And the last thing I would say that I've been playing, which caught me off guard because I didn't realize that it was actually out. And I'm trying to find it here. It's Fallout Shelter for PC.
Huh.
So, let's see where. Yeah, Fallout 4 for desktop. Nope, that's not it. That's my game.
That's just Fallout 4.
That's Fallout 4. Hold on a second. Let me make sure I'm not going through Bethesda app. You have to launch the Bethesda app launcher.
Okay.
Which now they have they have their own beta app launcher. Not surprising anyone. But here it is. Yeah, Fallout Shelter for PC.
All right.
So that was fun until I broke it in a great way. And now I have more money than I need and not enough people to do stuff with. It's basically the same thing for your phone, just on PC. That's it.
Sweet.
It's not the one that they showed, I think, that was the actual 3D. You are inside of your shelter. I remember them showing that at E3. This is more of it's the same phone game, but on a PC, which doesn't control very well because of how big it is and zooming in with your mouse. And it'd be better if it was a touch interface type thing still on a massive platform. Play it on your phone. Same thing. It's just better. So, that's game wise. I think that's really it. Heavily that I've been playing. So yeah, that's all I really got for you on that one on the game side.
Very cool. For me, there's not much. I mean, like I said earlier in the show, I played some Overwatch. Mention of it before, I guess, Game of the Year talk, but I did finally beat Hyper Light Drifter. The final boss fight was really good. It wasn't like a huge challenge, but at least for me, like a seasoned Dark Souls player, and like I enjoyed all of the boss fights. They were varying levels of difficulty, but okay. I definitely had fun with it. And I guess in my opinion, the way that game ends is really good. And then like going back and listening to like a couple of the hidden like messages that you can translate if you want, and like the different people's analysis of that game, I am really happy with having played that game.
Okay.
The way it ends is really well, like really just really Studio Ghibli.
Okay.
If there's a way to describe a video game's ending, especially like an action hack and slash brawler kind of thing. Maybe not brawler, but like a Zelda clone.
Sure.
Oh,
that's fair.
But yeah, I think that's going to like, we still got a third of the year to go and a lot of like AAA games are coming out, but that is a big contender for my game of the year.
Okay.
And I'm glad I played it. The other thing that I've been doing since I've just been working like crazy and just running from A to B, I mean, like I could probably have gotten a phone game, but I have been reading a book for Game Maker, like a tutorial. It's a Game Maker language and in-depth guide, a guidebook for programming, which I've talked about coding and developing games in Game Maker in the past on the show. And I realize there's many other engines to make stuff, Unreal, Unity, build your own with C or something like that. But I enjoy Game Maker. There's a lot of really good games that come with Game Maker or have been made with Game Maker. Hyper Light Drifter, for example. Trying to think of a couple of like Nuclear Throne.
Nuclear Throne, I would say, yeah.
What's the Hotline Miami? That's another one.
Yep. And then, I was going to say Life is Strange, but that Life is Strange was not made on that.
No. Risk of Rain. Okay. It's a really good game engine for 2D games.
Was Terraria made on that?
I don't believe so. I think Terraria was a homebrew kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, there's some quality stuff. It's a really well done book. It's by a guy named U Heart Beast, as in like the letter U, not YOU.
Nice.
He's made a fair number of games that have been pretty successful, at least on like the, hey, this is a free thing you can download. And then a lot of people have downloaded it. He knows his stuff. He's made some video tutorials. He or she, I don't actually know that they have made some games. Their Twitter icon is just a disembodied, just like black and white drawing of a person with a heart in the middle of them. Okay. Well, I guess
all right.
That is a beast. All right. You heart beast. All right. On point. But yeah, it was on sale and it was like $10 and I picked it up and been reading it and it's been pretty helpful with my programming side of it. But that's more or less it. Come around like next show, we'll have a lot more games will have come out for us to talk about. I know. I wanted to do a quick recap since we're close to or at the 2/3 through the year of just like what your Game of the Year talks were, but maybe if we had more people on the show, that might have been better. But it was just you and me the whole time.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Well, I could tell you right now. Actually, I couldn't tell you because I'm trying to think of it and I can't remember at this moment. But
I mean, like, it's the thing of, like, if you want to talk triple A's, Overwatch for me is probably, like, it was a really good game and they've done a really good job post-release on it as well. There's a lot of things about it I like beyond just the main gameplay loop.
Yeah.
And then like, other than that, like there's a lot of other games. I'm trying to think of like a good third one that would be,
like for me, it's going to be Overwatch, Doom.
Yeah.
And gosh, I would have said the new Hitman game if they hadn't done it in the way that they are doing it for the monthly stuff.
See, that's interesting because given the way you talked about Deus Ex, I think it would be I think if like you and I like on a Skype call or something like jump down and start playing Hitman, we might have fun with that.
Sure,
but I can definitely understand a lot of people have had beef with the way they've releasing that.
I mean, I put 13 hours into the game so far. I have played the game. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Okay,
I have played Hitman. I bought Sapienza. I bought that at least another DLC to go along with it. I guess my issue is that they released, which I would have loved, it would have been nice, is even though I bought the Sapienza one, I can't play that new one they put out, which is the side mission, not the Gary Busey thing or the new one, but the one where they're making the movie in Sapienza, unless I bought the season pass. Or I bought the full game.
Weird.
And I don't get that. And they said they may do that later. They may be able to purchase it later.
Now, is the thing like for every DLC you get, like since you bought the Sapienza, is the season pass discounted?
No, there's no, I can't find it anywhere. Like you can't, I don't
see. So you can only pay full price for the season pass.
Of games which, already owned. Yeah. So if I go to say add all DLC, which the only DLC that's out right now is Sapienza Marrakesh. If I go to here and put my birth date in, which is not the right date because Steam, go to hell.
It's almost the thing, I wonder if they would give you a discount if you could buy it in-game.
So like here, it says I can buy Hitman Full Experience, Episode 1 through 7, but I already own the game, the first two parts of it. So then it says by the upgrade episode 2 through 7. So maybe that's what it is, but it still shows Sapienza in here. It says you own this game already, and it doesn't say that DLC, and it doesn't say, yeah, if you purchase this for yourself, you will not receive an extra copy of the DLC I already own. So why am I paying? It's not doing the thing where it should be $39.99, not $49.99 to complete my stuff. So until it does that, that'd be nice, but it's not doing that right now.
No,
so.
That's fair. And that's a valid criticism from a consumer. Like to make a business work on the internet, you need to make the payment side as painless as possible. And that is definitely not working if you are paying for stuff that you already own. That's fair. I think for me, my third might actually be Pause, PAWS, which is a shelter game. I talked previously about it as well, but it's just when I look back at the stuff I played this year, I have a list going, and that's definitely the one that still I really enjoy having played, and I had a good time with.
And I know you sure it's not Paws and Claws Pampered Pets?
No, that's
released in 2009, and is
no, this is 2016.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Man, Paws and Claws. That is a series that is okay.
All right.
This could be a great YouTube rabbit hole series.
That's not okay. We need to end this show quickly. All right. Thank you everyone for listening. My name has been Thurbleton Squiddle. Thank you for joining me on this two-man show.
Definitely.
Stay tuned after the music ends, because we'll be adding Cynic, who couldn't make it right now for scheduling reasons, as well as Nubarama. We'll talk for who knows how long about hardware and probably other stuff. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being here, Squill.
Yes, not a problem. Anytime.
Yep. And bye.
Ciao.
What's up? How you going?
I am melting. I'm physically melting. It's like 40 degrees with humidity right now, and I have no air conditioning, and all this fan is doing is pushing hot air on me.
I'm going to just look up the temperature, because I think it's been like minus something here. It's fucked.
It's winter.
Temperature, Canberra. It's 7 degrees now, so it's not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fucked that it's okay. It would be one thing if it's all the time cold or all the time warm, right?
Yeah.
It's like the summers are going to be nice, or the winters are going to be nice, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not okay when it goes from negative 30 to positive 40. That's just not...
On the same day.
That's 70 degrees Celsius.
That's
in 1 year, I mean.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's comparative. You know what? You're right, though. Like, just in general, you can't deal with extreme swings like that. Like, can, but it's not
I don't understand
enjoyable.
How people lived here before air conditioning or heating, right? I just don't understand it.
You know it's bad when I use my air conditioner. Like, I try to, like, optimize as much as I can for, like, wearing thick clothes, like, socks around the house and, like, all that kind of stuff. But when it gets so far that I'm like, you know what? I just can't deal. And I have to turn on my fucking air conditioner. Shit's got real. And I've had to use it over the last 2 days. To be fair, though, I've had people over, so.
Right.
we weren't actually expecting to record today. You guys recorded earlier today, right?
Well, I had to go out for a bit to meet a friend, so I only recorded for like 20 minutes.
Ah, I see. What did you guys talk about?
Nothing. Okay. Like, literally, they talked about Overwatch, and then my mind turned off, and that was it.
Okay. So let's talk about Overwatch.
I thought we were going to talk about hardware, because...
I've bought things. Have you bought things?
I haven't bought anything. Well, I bought a guitar.
Oh, let's talk about that. Did you talk about that on the show?
No, I haven't talked. I said I played Arma. That's all I said, and then I had to go.
Okay.
They had I don't think they talked about it in news because they couldn't find anything. But 1060, I want to talk about that.
I think they started talking about what we said we talk about, which is like for people listening to at home, like we're just doing this off the cuff.
Oh, have we already started?
Yeah, we've already started.
Oh, fuck.
Don't worry, you haven't said anything incriminating yet. No, but no. But like, so essentially, the other guys, apparently, I'm looking at the Google Doc that they used. They did the GO2Y talk, the Game of the Year talk. So we'll do that. That sounds fun. Okay. But first,
but I had to leave early. Okay,
yeah, so we'll do that. And then, but before that, we'll get to like, we'll just do our general what we've been doing. Because fuck it, you've just come off a bunch of that. And we'll get into that ourselves later. Because this is going to be put on to the end of that. I'm going to send this to Thurbleton, and then he's going to have to edit it. So suck it, I guess. Okay, yeah, we went into record this week because I was my birthday. Oh, it's my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Happy early birthday. So.
Yay. I'm now officially my late 20s. I'm 28. Yeah, well, tomorrow.
Oh, you're 28. Yep. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's crazy.
I know.
What was it like living through the Great Depression? What was it like hearing the Japanese attack Pearl Harbor on the radio?
It was a different world like? Back then. It was a different world.
Was.
We were that watching TV, like black and white television, and
well, the life was black and white, really.
Yeah, color didn't exist till like the mid 90s.
No, no, and even though that was very grainy color.
Exactly.
Now, cataracts.
Thank God for 4K. Now I can see in remotely like closer to normal definition. Oh my God. So that's tomorrow. So my friends came over and we just spent all of yesterday playing Dungeons and Dragons, which is
nice.
Perfect. Really fun. Aside from that, I haven't done too much except for the hardware stuff I've been doing. So, Noob, tell me about this guitar.
Well, I bought a guitar that was on sale. Okay, so the problem is I've told you that I wanted to buy a guitar, right? I was going to buy one.
I believe last week's episode is Noob Wants to Buy a Guitar. I think that's the name of that episode.
Yeah, the problem is that when I went to the guitar store, this guitar was on sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the kind of guitar I was looking for.
What are we talking about here? Are we acoustics or?
I was looking to buy an acoustic, but I ended up buying an electric. And I think I still want to buy another acoustic.
Of course you do. That was the intent. That was the initial intent.
Wait, but the thing is, like, this is like a half acoustic. It's a semi-acoustic in the sense that it has like an empty body, like a hollow body in the electric. That you can still play acoustically, but it's like a jazz guitar, more or less, right? You can make jazzy sounds on it. I don't play jazz.
Why'd you buy this guitar?
Because it was like 60% off. And also, like, I mean, I could play some kinds of songs on it that would work really well.
Nice.
But I realized that, that wasn't what I was looking for. And I maybe $700. Yeah. And I also spent like $200 on Amazon Prime.
Nice. What did you buy on Amazon Prime?
I bought like the portable charger because I've realized that's actually quite useful.
That's $200?
No, that wasn't $200. Okay. And then I bought a watch for my dad, a Timex watch.
That's nice.
And I think I bought like a shitty $25 watch that was on sale because it looked really cool. That's how I spend my paychecks now, I guess.
Nice. Yeah, just you budget for like a couple of days, and then you realize, wait, no, I want to buy things. And then you just go buy things.
Yeah, and I bought it all at work. I was sitting at work looking on Amazon.
Well, I'm here earning money, so I may as well spend it.
Yeah, and my manager came by. It's like, oh, what's on sale? So we spent about like 10 minutes just browsing through Amazon.
So what's your budget for the new guitar?
A new the one I'm thinking of buying again?
Yeah, the other, the acoustic, the thing you initially wanted to buy.
See, the thing is, now that I have the thing, right? Well, I'm going to go, I ordered it back in Toronto. So I'm going to go back to Toronto next week and basically play, or bring it back here. And if I'm satisfied with it, like, without an amp, then I'm probably going to keep on this and then just immediately buy my 1070.
Nice.
And I think I will be if it's a semi-acoustic.
Yeah. So again, like we had this talk before. It's like you will use your 1070 far more.
In the short period of time, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, if you extrapolate it over the next 40 years, it's different, but yeah.
Yeah, but I got to get that 1070 before suddenly something happens. I don't know, something might happen.
I'm going to go to nowinstock.net Let's have a look.
1070s are all in stock. They've refilled as of yesterday.
Yesterday, huh? Let me have a look. Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of them. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them in stock. Zotac, especially.
So I'm probably going to pick one of those up. I might actually straight up... 1080s are still
all gone.
Pardon?
1080s are still all gone, but yeah, 1070s are around.
I'm not going to buy a 1080.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see a point in buying a 1080.
No.
It still can't be 4K.
Especially
properly.
After the news of what was coming out.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. So, on that tip, before we get to the news bit, I guess, over the last couple of months, I've been on the I need a new graphics card train.
Yes.
Because I need something to output 4K to my 4K TV. Hmm. And for a long time there, I was saying... All AMD needs to do is put out a good graphics card that's worth buying.
I mean, it would have been a good graphics card that was worth buying if it came out in the 1940s. I think. Not that you would have the technology to put it in, but I mean, like...
All I needed to do was be faster than my 290, and it wasn't. That's sad. That's sad that they went, like, it's been...
Is this the only card release of the year by AMD?
We don't know. Probably. It probably is. It's fucking sad. And then it's like the 290 is based on, I think it's like the 7970 or something. And it's like a fucking 4-year-old graphics card, and they still can't put out a low range graphics card faster.
It's
than
also
there.
No, it's not even the fastest card now at its price point.
Oh, at its price point it is, because
I mean, in the sense of like range plus minus $25-$50.
Oh, okay, yeah, $25-$50. Yeah. Then yeah, you want a 1060 because that's about 15% faster or whatever.
Yeah.
That's definitely the way to go. So I was annoyed with that, and I didn't really want to support Nvidia because they're price gouging the shit out of us in Australia. Hmm. For their new cards, so the GTX 1070 and 1080 are just like fucking expensive here, and it's not just Gigabyte and stuff that's doing it. I believe they've set the MSRP or the RRP, however you want to call it, here as a particularly high number. So I got a 980 Ti. That's essentially the long short of it.
I mean,
yeah.
I think you need to point out like how good of a deal that was.
Oh,
in
yeah.
In the sense of like it's like what, like $100-$200 cheaper than getting a 1070?
Exactly. That's how fucked the prices are here. The price so the 1070 is Australian dollars for a decent one, like with a good aftermarket cooler or board partner cooler, is $799. Like $800 you're looking at for a solid 1070. And for people who don't know, like 1070 are really fast, but they're not quite as fast as 980 Ti, and they can't overclock as far. Well, no, even at stock. At stock?
Really? Even
yeah,
the super clocked ones?
So if you go on websites, there's a distinct disparity between ones that looked at a stock 1070 versus a stock 980 Ti, a reference 980
right.
Ti, versus a stock 1080 versus a 1080 that people actually would buy. Because people don't buy reference 980 Ti's, like in general. People do generally buy aftermarkets of both. I mean, you look at aftermarkets of both, they're roughly the same speed, and 980 Ti pips it out by a very small margin, like 3%.
Right.
Like very small margin. And so it's, but when overclocked, the 980 Ti overclocks far, far further than a 1070.
Right.
And that's what I've done on mine. But either way, that's not Nvidia's necessary point. Because I wanted a 1070 because they're cooler. They're quieter because they're cooler. And they run at lower temperatures. And they use this
energy.
And
they're actually going to have nice driver support.
Yeah, they're going to have pretty much future-proof driver support. Like, or at least for the immediate future. It's a better buy. But when you tell me that you can get a 980 Ti for $100 to $150 less... Then it's fucking 1070. Then I'm going to get the motherfucking 980 Ti, which is what I ended up getting. So I got a Gigabyte 980 Ti G1 Gaming, which is a nice one with it's got a custom board on it and better power management and a nice aftermarket cooler, a board partner cooler on it with the Tri-X or whatever the fuck they call it. Not the Tri-X, that's Sapphire. Whatever, the Gigabyte one, Windforce cooler on it. And then I overclocked the shit out of it. And I'm fucking happy with what I got. So,
are you water cooling or just air cool?
Nah, just air cooling. But it maxes out at 71 degrees Celsius, so it's pretty good.
Right.
Yeah, it's like really, really good. So I like one of the first things I did was like benchmark the shit out of it,
nice.
And it is on average around 2% slower than a stock 1080.
Right.
Over across a bunch of things, and that's fucking impressive. Considering I got this for like $650 and
half
a 10 half the price, and that's new, yeah. Not even used. I could get it for even less new used, or now because thank God for Brexit, you can import it from the UK for so cheap. But I didn't look at that at the time, and I wanted to pick it up in person just in case there's something wrong with it. But yeah, no, it's fucking. It's a beast, and the cool thing is though, because it still can't do 4K, not like the 1080, can't do 4K properly. I'm running, and I tested it out. So on my TV, it's obviously a 4K TV. It's got a built-in scaler, so I can run 4K to it. So 40, if I run 1440p to it, the graphics card does the scaling. But if you run 1080p to it, the TV does the scaling. And I actually was able to do like Witcher 3 4K medium settings 60fps versus Witcher 3 1440p ultra settings 60fps versus 1080p ultra settings 60fps. And of those, 1080p actually looked the best.
Wow.
Because of how, A, you're running at ultra, and B, the scaler on my TV is just really nice. Mm-hmm. And the scaler on my TV is actually better than the scaler in the graphics card. So I am now just fucking running 1080p ultra 60fps on everything. I chucked on Doom, and if I uncap it, it runs at like 240 frames a second.
Right.
So I use Reaver Tuner to cap it to 60 and then turn on VSync. Because what I've looked into now that I have a graphics card that's worth a damn, is, well, not that my 290 was bad, but you couldn't even run Doom at fucking ultra at 60fps on that. So let's just say it's garbage. Let's just say that. It's not. I gave it to my friend. He's really happy with it. But no, so like what I started looking into was frame timing. So do you know what frame times are?
No.
All right. So you have the FPS figure, so the frames per second figure off a graphics card. So something, when a graphics card's outputting data to your monitor, it does so at a particular number of frames per second. If you enable VSync or vertical sync, it matches the frame output in terms of frame rate from your graphics card to your monitor, so your shit's refreshing at the same time. You don't get screen tearing. It's similar to that. So like if you take a, say, 10 second segment of Grand Theft Auto 5, which is a great example because it has crazy frame times, essentially the frame rate would be, take 1 second of that 10 seconds or average it over the 10 seconds, and you get the amount of frames delivered in each second, right? So you have 120, 120, 130, 120, 110, 120, right? And then it averages out to 120. So in general, your average frame rate is 120, right? But if you look at that, you had one where you did 110 and one where you did 130. Or in case of a low-end graphics card, to amplify this, for 1 second, you'll be running at like 18 frames a second. And for the next second, you might be running at 45 to 60 frames a second. So even though your average over the 60 seconds or 10 minutes or whatever is going to be 60 frames a second, you get dips and peaks during that. So how that's expressed is frame times, or instead of frame rate, it is the timing between frames. So right. If you divide a second into 60 frames a second, you're looking at roughly 17 frames a second, right? So,
right.
17 milliseconds per frame. So you have 17 milliseconds and then the next frame is generated, 17 milliseconds and the next frame is generated. So, but if you look at a time where you're having weird frame dips, you have like 100 milliseconds and then a frame is generated and then a bunch of frames generated like 4 milliseconds or 6 milliseconds. So overall, your average is like 60 frames a second, but you have like you have micro stutters. You have pauses in there where it's like, oh, it freezes for a moment or that kind of stuff. And it just kind of looks janky. It just doesn't quite look quite right. That's frame timing. And frame timing is actually, when you look at the screen and watching things running, it's what determines how smooth, inverted commas, it looks more than frame rate.
Right.
which is why a lot of people say things like, I don't care if it's 30 frames a second as long as it's smooth at 30.
Consistent, right. Yeah.
What they're actually talking about is they need the frame times to be consistent. It's why Bloodborne looks so fucking bad when it runs, is because it's running at solid 30, but the frame times are all fucking over the place. So some frames are taking like 60 milliseconds to do, sometimes frames are taking 45 milliseconds to do, and in the end you just get this slightly choppy mess. It doesn't look terrible, but it doesn't look great. Because you're still getting 30, but you're not getting a smooth 30. So when you're running on a card like mine, where you can just crank it the fuck up no matter like what you're doing at 1080p, what you actually want is, A, for your monitor to support it, and my monitor does 90 FPS.
Right.
So my TV does 1080p 90 smoothly. If I go over 90, and I tested it more since I did last time, it has little artifacts just because of like the back-end stuff inside the TV. It's nothing to do with the graphics card. So 90 FPS, 1080p, you want to get your frame times as flat as possible. So your frame rate, you want to be locked at 60 or 90 or whatever, but you want your frame times as flat as possible. And there's actually really great articles by a dude named Durante, or goes by the handle of Durante. He's the guy who fixed Dark Souls 1 for PC. So, yeah. So he had the famous Durante patch or whatever for Dark Souls 1, which enabled it to go to... Because out of the box, it was limited to 30 FPS. And then he wrote this fucking magic code that made it be able to run at 60 and also fixes a bunch of other shit in that game. So he wrote an article, I think it was on PC Gamer or it might have been on PC World, that where he talks about frame times. He did testing. And for people who overclock, we're very familiar with a program called MSI Afterburner. MSI Afterburner is... It's not necessarily... It's called MSI Afterburner, but I think it's made by like Guru 3D or something like that. It's essentially a really good way to overclock your graphics card. And however, the other side of it is it has a statistics tuner. So it has a thing that tells you the statistics of your graphics card. So like your temperatures over time, that kind of stuff. Like your fan speed, your usage percentages, and all that kind of stuff. That is using a side program called RevaTuner. RevaTuner Statistics Server. And what I didn't know until literally last week is that RevaTuner Statistics Server, or RTSS, which comes as part of the MSI Afterburner package and can be gotten itself, actually has a frame limiter built in. So to get a really incredibly smooth frame time, you
will have less frames.
Yeah, you have less frames, but all the frames are hitting exactly when you need them to, and you enable VSync. So enable VSync, turn on RevaTuner, and you get the fucking smoothest gameplay I've seen. It is fucking nuts. Like, doing that at 90 FPS, I don't do this normally, but so 1080p, 90 FPS, RevaTuner on, VSync on, it is so fucking smooth. I was, like, shocked. It was like, holy shit. That's impressive. So there's a pro tip for people at home. So A, 980Ti's are fucking awesome. If you're getting for cheaper than a 1070, then do so. Otherwise,
but if it's more expensive, just get the 1070.
Keep getting the 1070. In fact, if there's the same price, get the 1070. But if you get it cheaper, like I did, that. But more, like almost more importantly, and it's because it's applicable to anyone with any graphics hardware, check out. Like if you're used to things like frame limiters in games, or using the 60 FPS cap in Witcher 3 and stuff, or you just want to like, if you want to see what really smooth frame times look like, install MSI Afterburner, or just RevaTuner statistics or RTSS, which is A, good for your good for you because you can figure out more about your graphics card. You can see if it's overclocked or not. You can set fan curves and all that kind of stuff for your graphics card, so you can keep it quieter or cooler, or however you want to go. But more importantly, you can play with things like the RevaTuner frame limiter, which is actually better than in-game frame limiters. It's actually better than VSync in most games. But if you pair it with VSync, you get the flattest frame times possible, and it looks gorgeous. So that's just a little tip. That's a pro tip.
Pro tips by Cynic.
Yeah. I should have known this a long time ago. Like a Duran tick.
I don't even know what that is. So now I know.
Frame times. I'm just going to do a, yeah, there we go. First link, Durante frame time. So I'm going to link it to you, Noob, and I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
And let's see. If you this is like a really interesting thing. There's graphs halfway through the page. So halfway through the page, this is almost useless, but like I'll just describe it verbally. He has graphs of frame times throughout a playing The Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. And you have like no frame limiting, no V-sync, and it's just fucking all over the place. Like if you look at the middle of the page, like halfway down the page, Noob.
With the red, yellow, and
yeah.
green.
Yeah, yeah. Red, so there's one with the red and green. It's just fucking all over the place. Then he has it with frame limit on, which is like kind of smooth. Mm-hmm. And then he reaches in the section called Reaching Into the Saddlebag. He takes out Reaver Tuner and is almost fucking perfectly smooth.
It's a straight line. Yep.
And then you go Reaver Tuner plus V-Sync and it's just a fucking straight line. And that's what I'm... It's
But that frame rate hit is... pretty nasty.
For him, he has to run it on a 30 FPS because he's running on a 970.
Oh, okay.
So I can do this at 90 FPS on my 1090 Ti. So it's pretty nice. Yo, it's pretty nice, yo. Anyway, so I don't want to bore people at home who don't care about hardware anymore than we already have.
I mean, we still have things to talk about on the hardware front.
Okay, what do you got? What do you got?
Well, 1060. 1060 came out.
Did we talk about last time? I don't know.
No,
if
we never
talked
about 1060.
1060 is good, man.
It's like it's a slightly more expensive. It's like $15-$20 more expensive than it's because it's $250 launch price for the regular version, I believe.
Yeah, the MSRP or whatever.
But yeah, like it's
Amazon.com. Does NowInStock.net have 1060s as one of the options? Let's have a look. I don't think it does. Wow, weird. It doesn't have a 960. Oh, sorry, 1060.
But 960s are apparently more in stock in terms of they did a better job of... Because the aftermarket ones came out the same time as the...
Yeah.
Like the... What is it?
Oh, God. Some of these prices are fucked, though. So GDX 1060, like fucking the Gigabyte one is $349 on Amazon right now. That's fucked. Oh, weird. The EVGA one that's... Oh, no, it's because it's a fucking aftermarket asshole ripping people off. So, like, don't get the Founders Edition. That's, like, the...
Don't get the Founders Edition ever, but in this case, you don't even have to wait for aftermarket. They're on the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Never get the Founders Edition.
Your card is going to be in your case, right? And if you care that much about how your card looks like, you shouldn't be buying a 1060. Like, that's not the price point at which you should be caring about the look of your card.
God. But even if you do, like, there's... For RRP, there's an EVGA one that's, like, really tiny. It has really good temperatures. Jay's Two Cents on YouTube has a review of it. And that's $259. It was $259. I think it was $269, and it comes with a $10 rebate, so it's $259. And that's fucking awesome. Like, you get a sweet EVGA 1060, outperforms at 480 by like 15-20%, and that's not without even overclocking it. To be fair, the 480s, stock 480s can't overclock for shit, so we'll see aftermarket ones come out. But yeah, like, for the base price, the $250 price, it's hard. Like, the only reason you'd get a 480 is if you want to be future-proofed for DX12. Which I don't even know if anyone's going to use. Like, so far, the only examples of it we have are, like, the game comes out, and then, like, fucking 4 to 6 months later, the developer puts out a DX12 patch.
Or, like, Hitman, they put out a DX12 patch, and you physically can't play the game because it won't launch on DX12. So... Yeah. And
on top of that, you need Windows 10 to run Windows, like DirectX 12. So if you're running on Windows 7 PC, then there's definitely no point. I don't know about 480,
AMD, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, a lot of people, like a lot of YouTubers and stuff, are saying, yeah, it's like just pure math wise, the 480 is only 15% less performance, and when it comes to like price versus price, we're talking about $20-$30 difference, which is, I think, roughly that $15.50,
something like that.
Let's see, 30 divided by 240 It's yeah, 13% difference. So it's like they're the same essentially in dollars per value, right? Like it's and then they talk about DX12. For me, it's more like look at the frame rates of the games tested in various reviews, and like the difference between them isn't that much in terms of frames, but the 1060 is over 60 FPS. That's the difference. Like, even though it's only 15%, one's under 60 FPS, one's yes. over 60 FPS, and that's a hard line in the fucking sand, or should be for you. So, yeah, like, get a 1060.
It's the perfect
overclock it.
1080p cards, I guess.
Yeah, it's not even, though, because neither can do Tomb Raider at 60 FPS.
What's
like,
with Tomb Raider?
I don't
what
know.
What is with that game? Actually, I'm really curious.
It's, like, weird.
Is it that good looking?
No, it looks all right. A lot of people think it looks great, but I've seen Uncharted, so no, it doesn't look particularly fantastic. I don't know. And The Division, neither can do The Division either. But that's an open world game.
That's just a broken game.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the difference.
Yeah. So, like, honestly, from my perspective, if you want to get a card that can certainly do fucking 60 FPS, 1080p on everything, get a 1070 or 90 Ti.
Depending on the price point.
Depending on the price point.
But I mean, like, if in that budget, like that 200 to 300, that is the card
that's,
you want.
That's, yeah, 1060 seems like it. Again, right. Seems like it.
What happened to AMD?
It's, I don't think anyone expected the 1060 to come out this soon, though.
I was reading something, I think it was in March, talking about AMD's preparing, or like telling its investors that they're going to have a huger, like a larger chunk of the graphics card market as of this year because of their new cards. And that's really funny now. That's actually hilarious.
Everyone's going to buy 1060s. Even if it's not like, even if it's definitely worse as DX12, which it is. The fact that, like, fucking barely any games are DX12. Like, it's like they did next year's design decision. So, like, DX12 is probably a next year or the year after thing. If you really want cars made to run DX12 really well, it's probably a next year or year after thing, right? And more importantly, for my end, if you can't hit 1080p 60 on every fucking game out there at Ultra, don't even bother with a fucking like graphics card release like around $200. Like $250, like this proves it. Like this release proves it. Like 1060, 1080p 60, everything. Every game out there except for like one or two 1080p 60 or higher. And that's what you need to hit. That's the performance bracket you need to hit in 2016 because like It's telling that for GTX 1070 and 1080 reviews, they own people. Most places worth their salt only look at 1440p and 4K. That's it. They like, of course, it does 1080p. We're just gonna look at 1440p and 4K and ultra wide in some cases as well. Like that's right. The only three things like enthusiast press really care about when it comes to 1070 and 1080, because 1080p is the path for PC gaming. Like that's. If you have a 1080p monitor, I'm not saying you're fucking a pro or anything. I'm just saying, I'm just saying like yeah, like we should be able to do that by now. It's fucking 2016. Consoles can do that shit.
Yeah.
So, it's 1060. That's personally, if you can get the EVGA one for your $260 price point, that's the card I would buy in that price bracket. That $200 to $300.
Right.
Bracket. I would not pay over $300 for 1060. Don't be fucking crazy. Don't be fucking crazy. Yeah.
We have one more new graphics card coming out.
What have we got? Oh fuck.
The new Titan X.
Oh,
the new Titan X.
Oh my god. Oh my god. So this is funny. First of all, how fucking confusing is that? Like they went from
Why would they name it the same card? I just don't understand. I don't get why they would think that's an... You have literally 26 letters in the alphabet to work with, but you use the same one.
Twice. It's because they realized when they made the Titan Z and then the Titan X, they're like, oh, wait, X sounds cooler. And so it's no longer a descriptor. It's just literally the name of the graphics card. It's the Titan X. That's the thing. That's the thing that they call now. It's stupid. People like brought up the aftermarket stuff because like the 1080 is faster than the Titan X, the old Titan X. People are going to be reselling Titan X's, right? So in a year from now, when the 1080 Ti comes out and people start selling their Titan X's. Exactly.
Every message on Craigslist, is this the new Titan X or the old Titan X?
It's going to be fucked.
But what is crazy, though, is it's fucking in a week. It's coming out in, like, slightly over a week.
Oh, my God. But it's like, who's like, 5 will come out in slightly more. Like, you don't even have 1080, like, 1080s on freaking... Yeah. On store shelves right now.
Just say it right now. Don't buy this thing because in fucking 6 months you're gonna get the 1080 Ti.
Exactly.
Like, and it's gonna be faster than this. It's gonna have HBM2. It's gonna have everything. Like, this is, there is no reason for you to get this unless you're a billionaire and you're gonna throw out this card once that 1080 hits. Ti.
Yeah.
Hits,
you're gonna have to, like, you have to be one of those people, and I talked about this a while ago, who, like, buys a graphics card and then resells it for near the price you bought it for. So the graphics card doesn't actually matter.
And the thing is, the price of, like, no one's going to buy the Titan X as soon as that Ti comes out.
See, not only to do that, you have to keep on top of the markets, because you need to know when to sell it. You need to sell it before the Ti comes out, and that kind of stuff. Like, it's a bad move.
There's no reason for them to double down now. It's not like they have competition on the high-end graphics market.
Like, at all. None.
No,
zero.
Literally.
The only competition, as evidenced by me, is themselves. Right. Like, their only competition is themselves. They're just freaking fighting their previous fucking graphics card-like stuff. Like, oh, my God.
And it's apparently, you know, potentially 24% faster than the GTX 1080.
It's weird, though, because, like... It's $1,299, which means you can get 2 980 Ti's for that price. Easily 2 980 Ti's. And that will outperform this. So, like, the only people who should buy this are people who want to get two of them.
But even then, like, it has to be someone who gets two of them and then gets rid of them as soon as those TIs come out.
As soon as
it's like,
just before the TIs come out.
It's so much effort. Like, I wouldn't go through that much effort for 6 months, right? You're only really using this card for 6 months.
Exactly, especially because we're only talking about 6 months. And the even crazier is a 20% performance bump means that this thing still can't do 4K on most games. It can do it on a lot of games. Most new releases. It can do it on most games, like almost every game out there at the moment. But, like, when we're talking about Witcher 3, Tomb Raider, all that kind of stuff that the 1080 does at 40-ish frames a second, or just hit 60 like Doom, then this still won't push it into that comfortable 60 kind of range. So this is still not enough for 4K. So there's, like, no reason, there's no performance reason to buy this thing.
Now I'm scared, because does this mean that maybe the 1080 Ti won't be that fast?
It won't be.
Like, they're
not going to
do HBM2.
I don't think it will be. I don't think the fact that this is GDDR5X, and the 1080 Ti is usually, so the Ti variant is usually just a cut down version of the Titan at a higher clock speed.
But the thing is, they're basing the Ti. They've confirmed that they're basing the Ti on the P100, which is going to be HBM2, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
So it'd be fucked if they suddenly go down in memory. Because I assume that extra time isn't for market reasons.
But no one expected this to be a
GDDR5X
card.
That's the thing, but it's like they clearly didn't... They clearly have no clue on when to release a card, apparently.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I assume it's research and development and, like, actually getting that card made more than anything.
Yeah. It's oh man, I don't know.
That's so crazy that there's only one company making graphics card now. That's crazy.
I'm really curious as to when we'll finally get a car that can do like 4K 70 or 4K 80, like just like a good comfortable lead over 60, so you can do things like performance limited to 60 to get smooth frame times. Like, I've really
2 years maybe.
Yeah, because this isn't it, and that's not because 20% over the 1080 is not fast enough. Because if you look at the Titan, it's like 50% faster than the 980, right? The old Titan X is 50% faster than the 980. This thing's only 20%, 25% faster than the 1080, which means, that's not fast enough. It's not fast enough, because if 48 frames per second plus 20% is still not 60.
It's still not 60.
It's just damn close. It's really close for those people who want it to be damn close.
Damn close. But like...
For fucking $1,300, the price of a computer on its own, easily.
Easily. Yeah. It's enough for a VR-capable computer with a VR headset.
The benefits, like the price to performance ratio, are so fucking marginal.
It's stupid. It's stupid. Yeah. Just don't. But yeah, so like, but those people are already too far gone. They're going to buy it.
No, but I want to say there's going to be less than like 5,000 people who buy this thing.
Of course. There's a reason. I don't think the Titan is even in the top 100 Steam hardware survey results. Like, it's not even in the top 100 of that. So like, so few people buy Titans. That's not the only the only reason we know that people buy Titans is because the people who do buy Titans tell everyone that they buy Titans.
Yeah. Benchmarks. They have it for benchmarks.
Exactly.
Reasons.
Benchmarks and EPIN. Like, they yeah. if he has a Titan, it's like if he's a fucking vegan. He will tell you he has
no,
a Titan.
No, it's the kind of person who would put their Titan on their forum signature.
Exactly. I was about to say the same thing.
And it's like on their Steam profile. This is my specs. And if they post a video of like them playing a game, it would be on the description of their
exactly.
video. Like,
oh, man. It wouldn't be a 7700. It would be like a fucking X series Intel processor, like a fucking 5950 or the fuck the $2,000 one is, or whatever. God.
I like computer games. I don't like them that much.
Exactly.
That I would derive that kind of benefit.
No. More importantly, like, again, it doesn't hit a performance bracket. Like, if you need to do 1440p, get a 1070. If you need to do ultra wide, get a 1080. If you need to do fucking 980p, get a 1060. Like, sorry, not 980, 1080p.
80p, yeah.
It's finally starting to get confusing for me. It wasn't for a long time, but like the DDX 1080 and then talking about 1080p.
I'm going to be pissed if they do 1180. I hope they don't. Just go back to zero or something.
Really? I wouldn't mind. At least then like it'll stop breaking this iteration of fucking everything being resolution numbers.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind the 1180. But now with my 90 Ti, like, I don't think I'm going to be getting a 1080 Ti. I think
Unless it's a massive boost or something.
Exactly. Cause, yeah. But if that's not, if that thing is barely faster than the Titan, which is what the 980 Ti was, barely faster than the Titan, then there's no point. I'm still waiting. I'm still going to have to wait.
Also, AMD is releasing more cards. They're releasing the 470 and the 460. So you can only go down, apparently.
How crazy is it that the 1060 aftermarket cards hit the market before the 480 aftermarket cards did? What the fuck is that? How'd you fuck that up? Your graphics card came out last month.
And it's still not out yet. When NVIDIA first released those 1080s, it didn't matter because they're the only new markets on the card.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck? Like, so we're still here a month later. The 1060's out. Performs better, saying, oh, well, maybe the aftermarket 480s will perform. Fuck you! What? Oh my god.
It's just I wonder if AMD was not expecting that. Like, that was just like a knife hidden.
I think it was that. No one expected the 1060 to come out this soon.
It's like they had hoped that maybe they could sell a couple cards before September.
Exactly.
But it was now.
Jesus Christ. And it's in the most perfect way possible. Like, aftermarket cards are out, like the ones you want are out there. There's no reason to wait. You could just get the EVGA one now. Because I think that's the best one.
No controversy with this 1060 card yet.
Exactly. It's
other
just
than
like a nice card.
SLI, which is crazy. SLI a 1060. I don't get it.
NVIDIA was perfect. They're like, if you want a faster graphics card, get a 1070.
Yeah.
We'll stop. It makes no sense. And the like buy now SLI later thing is just the don't. There's no reason
to. Nope. Drivers.
Just sell your one aftermarket and then fucking buy the higher one.
Yep.
And you get a better, probably the same, if not a bigger performance boost and far more compatibility.
Yes. Because fucking running your games at, you know, Titan SLI doesn't really make work out when you have to disable two of the cards to be able to actually physically run the game.
Oh my god. Yeah, it just like doesn't work.
What's the point of having that just dangling there, just unused?
I finally remembered where I stored these things. My average Firestrike score on my 980 Ti, for people at home, is 21,200 graphics score, which is just a bit under 1080. Yeah, I'm really happy with this card.
The first in a family of solutions. The 480 is beyond HD gaming and VR premium.
God.
470, brilliant HD gaming. 460 cool and efficient esports gaming.
I saw 480 VR benchmarks, and like for Oculus it's fine because they lock it down, but for Vive it frequently can't hit 90.
The 1070 was games. It's incredible like how they thought of VR with their cards, NVIDIA, like with that technology of being able to put the things you can't actually see, etc. Yeah.
But just the benchmarks. But it's like a it has to be developer supported. Like it's not built in. But the thing about the 1070 is just a fast fucking video card, so it can run VR games just fine. It's just
I don't
really
understand
fast card.
Why they're trying to sell for esports gamers, like. That's a big market.
I don't know.
Why would an esports gamer want to get a 460?
I think it's because of the $100 price point. It's like you're 16 years old. Your mom gave you $100 for your birthday. You can buy this graphics card for your Overwatch.
Right.
Because Overwatch is not hard to run. You don't need a fucking fast graphics card.
I hope the second that like 460 or whatever comes out, there's a 1050 right there waiting.
Yeah. They're obviously going to put the 1050. And it's going to be $299 probably. Or yeah. $199, sorry. $199 yeah. probably. Anyway. Anyway.
That's it for hardware.
That was the hardware section.
Did you watch the new Wonder Woman trailer that just came out?
No. Is there a new Wonder Woman
trailer?
It looks
really good. Yeah, I'm going to look at it.
Cool.
It's the year of the Second World or the First World War, apparently. It is the year of the First World War.
That's interesting. That's kind of cool.
Yes. This is like the Battlefield trailer.
I saw the Justice League trailer, and that looked garbage.
Yeah. Well, do you know why that's garbage?
Oh, is it Shane Black, whatever his name is?
No, I don't know. Actually, I have no clue who's directing that. I was thinking of... I thought it was... What's his face? Zack Snyder. Yeah, that's why.
Man.
It is Zack Snyder.
Gal Gadot is not a really pretty lady.
Yes, she is. She was in the actual military.
Oh, well, that's because...
Well,
she's
Israeli.
Yeah, Israeli. Isn't that... Don't they have
years,
to?
2 years, I think. It's yeah. 2 years. Yeah, it's mandatory. But, Zack Snyder, stop making...
This looks really fucking good. I'm just skipping through it. I haven't watched it all, but I'm just skipping through it. It looks really nice.
It has like a good amount of humor.
It's got fucking Kirk. It's got Captain Kirk in it. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah, Captain Kirk.
That's unexpected.
Oh, apparently Star Trek Beyond is quite good.
It's like 80 something on Rotten Tomatoes, so yeah. I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah.
Justice League, on the other hand.
Oh, that looked like
garbage. It don't look so good.
That looked like, oh god, that looked so bad. That looked so bad. Like literally having him walking around saying, I'm making a team. It's like, dude, stop. Just stop fucking, like, I know Justice League is in line with the Avengers in terms of like all that kind of stuff, but you can't just use the same line. You can't just actively rip off Marvel. You can't just have the equivalent of a fucking, I was going to say Lawrence Fishburne. That's racist, isn't it? Is that racist?
I think you're thinking of Barack Obama.
You kind of like Samuel Jackson go around. Like, they may as well have hired Samuel Jackson to fucking walk around as fucking like Captain whatever. Fury? Major Fury? Major Fury? Just like recruiting dudes. Like, literally going around and like, I'm making a team of people with special power. Like, fuck you. Oh my god.
But this, I actually quite enjoyed the trailer, and I'm excited for Wonder Woman.
For Wonder Woman, yeah.
It's not directed by Zack Snyder. And the second I knew that, I saw that trailer, I realized, oh, wow, this looks good.
Well, yeah, Wonder Woman was the best thing about the last movie, and it's going to be the best. And she's going to have the best movie of these three, easily. Though I like what they did with The Flash. He seems like a cool dude. Except for like the over, like, can we stop with the nerd fucking nerd hate? Like, come on, So I was gonna say Tony Stark because it may as well be. So Batman walks into the dude's like basement or whatever. I'm pretty sure it's his basement, and there's like computer screens everywhere, and he's like clearly one of those tech guys. And at the end of it, he's like, "Oh, would you join the Justice League?" And he's like, "I'll stop you there. I need friends." And it's like, what? No one. What are you? Oh, fuck you!
It's just bad because it makes sense in the context of Marvel because it's fun and tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
If you're gonna make a gritty fucking war movie with superheroes, maybe that's having that. Maybe takes it out a little bit of your tone.
The only thing I like about the trailer, aside from Wonder Woman, but she's only there for like a couple of seconds, I really like Jason Momoa. He's really cool as Aquaman. It's dumb. but he's like such an imposing presence. Like, surprise, one of the best things about the first season of fucking Game of Thrones is still a cool thing. But like, Jason Momoa as Aquaman actually was surprisingly cool. Like, he's just a big menacing dude. Aquaman. Is there going to be an Aquaman movie?
I thought there was. Yeah, it's announced 2018.
Okay, who's the director? Let's have a look. Aquaman movie.
It's not going to be Zack Snyder, so
that's,
I still have hope.
That's already a plus. It's James Wan. James Wan is the director, according to IMDb. Creator of Saw and The Conjuring. Yeah.
And the Furious 7 movie.
That's awesome. Yes, I have some form of hope for this Aquaman movie. Oh, he did Saw 2. Okay, well, that's not that bad. But he did all the rest of them.
He did original Saw.
He wrote the original Saw.
Oh. No, he directed it, I think. No, yeah, he directed the original Saw.
IMDb says writer. Maybe he was a writer-director?
He does writer and director for that.
Right. Yeah. He's producing the Mortal Kombat something movie?
I think he likes video games.
Oh, he's doing the MacGyver TV series. That's one. Oh. That's weird. Anyway.
We got off topic.
Yeah, we're a little bit off topic. Any other video games or hardware stuff to talk about before we get to?
I don't think so. All right. Are there any... No Man's Sky is coming out in 2 weeks or whatever, and...
I like where we have an active No Man's Sky countdown. Yeah. We said like last time it was 4 weeks, and now it's like 2 weeks.
Yeah, because I want this game too. I want our expectations to be vindicated that this is going to be Minecraft without crafting or much mining.
I could not be less interested in No Man's Sky. I'm sorry, like the fact that it doesn't have a story is what does it for me. So it's just not my kind of game. But I can't wait. Yep. The reason I'm interested in No Man's Sky is I can't wait to see reviews.
Well, they were selling in a recent thing, I think it was Polygon or PC Gamer, they were saying, oh, we don't have a story, but every trading mission is a story.
Oh, fuck you.
It's just like, fuck you. That's,
fuck you.
That's
like, to be fair, like, people like those kinds of things.
But you can't you can't sell that for, what, $70?
Oh, I don't know. What's his face? Doesn't, that Freelancer, what it was, the old space trading sim, like that thing.
Freelancer, that had a really good story.
Oh, did it have a story? I thought it didn't have a story.
Yeah, Freelancer had an excellent story.
Oh, okay. So yeah, then I'm with you.
Freelancer had a great story. There was even like X3, which is like the space sim. That doesn't have a story. I mean, that has a story. It's not very good. Okay. That's a hardcore space simulator, not an explore the world sort of...
Yeah,
mainstream release.
I know it's asking for a lot, but like they're the ones who made the decision. So how much to put in this game? Like I didn't ask them to do a bunch of other shit that isn't a story. And then
there was a controversy though that the person who made the code for the generation of the world works for a different video game company, and they're planning to take legal action.
What? I don't get it.
Wait, I'm gonna see it.
Wait.
Okay. So their game world is based off of like a super formula that generates like 8 billion planets, right? Yeah.
And that's why it's only 6 gigs. Like people were like, it's only 6 gigs. That's why.
So the one they used was by a botanist named Johan Gielis.
Really? Right? Interesting.
And Sean Murray was open about it, but apparently now this guy
is patent trolling them or whatever.
No, I mean they don't want to block the release of the game, they're saying, but it is their technology. And they want to get on the table.
Oh, they want some of that dough.
Yes.
That, like, possibly negative earnings for No Man's Sky. Because that is not a guaranteed success. That game is not a guaranteed success.
Especially at that price point. No.
It's 60, right? Like, it's a full price game?
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't know, man. I don't know. But whatever. That's our No Man's Sky countdown minute.
Soon it will be, the countdown will reach zero and we'll just be laughing.
So we're going to take a quick break and then come back with Game of the Year stuff like the other guys and talk about our Game of the Year.
I'm pretty sure they did that. I don't know.
If they didn't, we did. So suck it. I guess. Suck it, Templeton. Editing's podcast. What do you think you are? we'll be back after nothing because I'm just going to hit stop and then hit start when we come back. So.
Okay.
Bye. And we're back. Hello.
Hello. I am.
I really hope the levels aren't broken right now. I don't know. Usually when we come back right. from break, the levels are totally different before and after the break, which is really annoying as editor.
I didn't take off my headset, so it should be fine.
No, it's just usually on me because my mic's on a boom arm, and I put it away right. when it came going away from my desk, then put it back out when I come back to my desk, which means I'm a different distance no matter what from my fucking mic when I come back. And it's not going to be two different files, so you won't right. be able to tell whether they break it or whatever. That wasn't the problem. I love that guy. He's like the nicest dude in the fucking yes. world. Because like every time we record and he can't make it, he's like, "Oh, do you want me to edit?" Because like I know you're yeah. busy. And it's like, "Oh, he's like the biggest sweetheart," which is why I love making the fun, like making as much fun of him as I possibly yeah. can.
Winding him up.
Yeah. I just forgot that we didn't say any of this before the break, and I just saw it on the podcast notes. I assume they talk about Pokemon Go, but like.
Okay, no, I talked about Pokemon Go. Okay. Oh, Durin talked about Pokemon Go. I was just saying that it's terrible and awful.
No, I just wanted to say, like I don't want to talk about it for a long period of time. I just want to say, like, I've had at least four separate things, like emails sent to me, internal military emails sent to me going, watch out for people on bases like, where they shouldn't be because they're like jumping fences on fucking military bases to fucking do Pokemon Go. Like, don't do that.
Oh, Jesus.
People at home, don't do that.
There is a... apparently, the GPS where one of... like, in our building is kind of fucked up. So they yep. think the game thinks you're by a lake. So, like, there, everyone is on their fucking phone at work. In a fucking office, like a government office, and they're just going to this single... there's always a crowd there in this building. There's always a fucking crowd there of people just on their phones.
That's funny.
And it's like, you have work to do.
You're being paid right now.
Literally, yeah. Go order thing on... you can order something on Amazon, that's different. But to fucking play your Pokemon Go...
It's just crazy. Like I like the... I don't really particularly care for like how big it's gotten. Like that's like kind of obvious news, but like, the side things, like us having to put up signs in front of military bases saying, "Do not play Pokemon Go on military," like because it uses your camera. It's an AR device, yeah. right? And it's yeah. already not allowed to take fucking photos on a military base. But you have, like, people who are like, oh, this is my, like, first, like, just out of basic training or whatever. It's like, oh, I'm just walking around the base playing Pokemon Go. Like, oh, my God. We have, like, fucking warrant officers pulling people up about, like, fucking using their phones on base. And, like, you have, like, the weird side stuff that happens of Pokemon yeah. Go. That's the interesting thing to me. Yeah. More bodies were found. Like, that kind of stuff is yeah. really
Well, no, it's the Holocaust thing is the best one, I think.
The Holocaust thing is pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't want to cause offense to anyone, but I gotta catch them all, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, but two kids got arrested walking into the American border yesterday by border security. Like, it's that kind of stuff, right?
Wow, exactly. It's like the weird, interesting side. The human, it's honestly, no, it's human stupidity.
I'm not actually an illegal immigrant. I'm just trying to catch Pokemon on your country land.
Catch Pokemon. what I expected him to say is like, oh, okay, very well then, proceed, like, carry on, catch your Pokemon.
It's just ridiculous. Do you think this will last a long time?
No, I don't know. Of course not. It can't. Not at this fucking size. It'll be like the Wii, like, it'll be like a flash in the pan. But that said, like, it opens the door for like, hey, Pokemon's still fucking popular, you guys, make
yes.
good Pokemon games on the phones, that kind of stuff. Like roll this stuff into a real ass game that people would want to yeah. play. Or at least like a game that has replay, like gameplay and replayability. Like, I'm not saying Clash of Clans is a good game.
No.
But like, it's got enough
There's
to
mechanics.
It.
Yeah. There's mechanics that are not attack, special attack.
Exactly.
Fucking throw the
like,
ball.
If you at least put like that level of fucking, you don't have to put all of Pokemon in there, but like, there's somewhere between this garbage and a full Pokemon game that would be interesting. Like, I would really like to see that on, like, being put out by the Pokemon Company. Anyway, Game of the Year stuff. This is the mid-year check-in. It's like it's right. a bit late. We're a little bit late. It's like hop most way through July, but
July,
fine.
Yeah.
So this the rest of the show is going to be us talking about what our current like kind of lineups and top picks are for our personal Game of the Year from the games we played so far, and then finishing off with like looking forward and what we expect, what we're hoping for coming up later in 2016. Sorry, late in 2016. So, Noob.
I'm just going to say right now that it's going to be hard doing our top 10 list this year just because I don't think we're going to find 10 games worth being on a game of the year list.
No, see, that's the thing. Like, for every game that you and I actively disdain, at least one other person in the group really likes that game. Like,
yeah, but I would rather have an empty spot than certain games on the list, if you get what I'm saying. I would rather there be no game than there be, you know, like, seven.
The list should stop at seven before fucking Firewatch and Inside get on there. Like, fuck you. I can't wait for the inevitable Durin.
Inside is not... We will make sure that Inside doesn't make it into the fucking top six.
People really like Inside. Like, really like Inside. Oh, man.
Well, too bad, because no.
Oh, man. That's the thing. Like, it's one of those weird things where it's like a year where Persona comes out. Like, my favorite game this year probably won't be on anyone else's list. So I'll be, like, pushing for it to be in the bottom Persona. Half of the... No, Persona's not coming out this year for us.
No, that's what I was going to say. Like,
but it's going to be like that. Like, when Persona 4 Golden came out, I think it was, like, 2012 or whatever. Like, for me, that was my game of the year. But, like, it made no sense to push for it for game of the year.
Right.
Because no one else gave a shit about it, right?
It's going to be... The game of the year, let's be honest, it's going to be Watch Dogs 2.
Watch Dogs 2. Fucking hell. We'll get there after this part. Fucking future game. What's on your list, Noob? Like, if you don't have to go deep into
all
it,
right.
But what's
so
your
in
list?
Terms of what I played this year,
mm-hmm.
Firewatch.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's not going to be on.
This is not ordered, I assume. This yes. is not ordered. Or it could be a bottom up. Like, this could be bottom up. Okay.
But, okay, this can be bottom up then. Dead by Daylight.
What's that? Dead by Daylight.
It's that game that it was broken that I complained about. That
oh, yeah. The one that was really fun. Like a multiplayer yeah. game where one's like a
Hearts
dude
of Iron 4.
Right.
I refunded that game. Grim Dawn officially came out. Stardew Valley.
Stardew Valley is pretty fucking
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Division.
Yeah.
And Hitman. And I think my three picks would be Hitman, Stardew Valley, and Division. Hitman, for sure, number one. I don't know if Stardew Valley or Division.
Yeah,
is
I don't
a
know
game,
if I can if I can fucking
yeah.
like, get
so
behind
different
you.
That I can't. Yeah,
I can't get behind you in the Division. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think
I would. I don't want Division anywhere near the top five. But
good.
I would want to make sure that it's above Inside and Firewatch.
If there was like a ground up push for Stardew Valley being in the top five, even though I haven't played it, but I'm pretty sure I will by that time.
I think I'm okay with. Like, I'm not going to fight for the Division. There's no way I'm going
to fight. that's like, your top three picks are Stardew Valley, the Division, and then number one being Hitman.
Unless I missed a game.
I'm totally...
Really
I think there's
not be
almost
three.
No discussion about Hitman. I think it's absolutely going to be in the top 10. It looks like a fucking awesome game. At a minimum, just watching Giant Bomb play it for me is enough for me to go, yeah, I like everything this game is doing. It started off a bit rocky, but it's getting there. It's got interesting stuff going on.
Right.
Are you playing the elusive target things?
I'm going to play the... Did the Gary Busey one already come out?
No. Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. They haven't done a video on it.
I'll play that. I haven't been playing the elusive just because I'm at work. And when I get home, I just don't want to bother.
Just fucking tired.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm just like... I just really like the game, and I love the idea of the game, not just the game itself.
Yeah,
and I will fight for it.
Yeah, no, it seems really fucking cool, man. I was totally down in Hitman, then I saw more of it, mm-hmm. and then saw people playing it in fun ways, and it seems cool. Mm-hmm. For me, and I do have an actual ordered list on my end, because I keep it up as I play more games over the year. At the bottom of the list, I've only played new games to completion this year. One of which I didn't even play to completion, but it's so awesome, it's on the list. Number 9, only because I didn't play more games, is Inside.
Yes.
My least favorite game I've fucking played this year. Which is, people look for different things in games. Like, I can't... I won't say
I will fight for you. I will fight with you to make sure that game does not touch fucking anywhere near the top.
Oh my god, that game. Number 8, Firewatch.
Yeah, that will also not fucking get a whiff of the top five.
Number seven is interesting because there's a lot about the game I really fucking like, and it has some of my favorite moments of this year, but overall it just didn't impress me, especially with like how repetitive a lot of it was, or just like how not interesting a lot of it was. The Witness. Okay. It definitely has my favorite puzzles.
But also a lot of bad ones.
Exactly, a lot of boring fucking puzzles that are just, you stand here and you get the answer given to you. It's just garbage. But some of the puzzles are just fucking amazing. Number six, this might drop on my list. It might drop far further. It's Street Fighter V. When it first came out, I liked it, and then I liked it less, and then I liked it less, and now I'm just... I look at the fighting stick I bought for that game, like, wow, that was a waste of $200. Like, oh my god, I'm not touching that game, like, probably ever again. Number five, XCOM 2.
Right.
That came out this year. I pretty much forgot that came out this year. I didn't finish it, but I liked it a lot. So I guess there's two games on here that I didn't finish. Number four, Fire Emblem Fates is fun. Mm-hmm. A lot of problems, but it's fun. And now we get to the real fucking contenders. Number three, Doom.
Nice. Fucking I will easily fight for Doom. Absolutely. I can totally agree with sick. That.
Fuck me. I haven't finished it. That's like, apparently there's two games this list I haven't finished. Doom is fucking awesome. That game. Especially running on a really nice graphics card and TV, etc. Like, oh, that game. Number two, Dark Souls 3 for me. I fucking love it. I really like that game. Second favorite Dark Souls. Number one, obviously, and this is the one I was talking about, the one I love and no one else cares about on this team, is Uncharted 4. I think that game's fucking incredible. Yeah. I think it's fucking incredible. And no one else here cares. So we'll see if it makes it.
You scratch my Hitman, I scratch your Uncharted 4.
Happy to do that. Happy to make that exchange. Let's put both of them in the top five. Fuck yeah. Because I wasn't expecting Tales of the Borderlands to get to top five last year, but we got it there.
We got it there, yeah.
So there you go. That game was great. Anyway, that's it. That's my current, like, that's the games I've played so far. Like, we've talked about all of them, like, in succession over the last couple months during their shows, mm-hmm. but, like, if I was to say, like, my top three picks, these are the top three. Like, Doom is definite. Dark Souls 3, I'm definitely going to be pushing for, and then Uncharted. Both of them are very different games, and I think it's a good thing to say about this year. That said, this year hasn't impressed me that much.
It is definitely rear-ended in terms of the game releases as I'm looking at my list right now.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like I'm saying the same thing about 2017 as I was about 2016, though. It's like, the first half of that year looks in fucking sane. Mm-hmm. Because you got, like, Mass Effect, fucking Persona, Horizon, For Honor. You've got so many games coming out in the first fucking quarter, essentially. It's going to be insane, but hopefully those games are good. Anyway, the rest of this year, though, what the fuck
should
is...
Should I go over some lists?
Yeah, what's out there?
I made a show list. So cool. I've only really listed the games I care about or I want to laugh at. And so it's not really in chronological order. Are you ready?
Yes.
So there is Battlefront 1. Battlefield 1. Sorry.
Oh, Battlefield 1.
I misspelled it on the thing.
Battlefield 1. Wait, did that come out last year?
That's November. Yeah.
Do you think that game is going to be a big deal?
I've only heard positive things about it from the people who played it.
It just looks like more Battlefield.
It looks different, and I think it's going to be different enough that it might be one of my top five.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Next one. Mm-hmm. Civilization 6.
Again, these are questions. Is that a big deal? Like, do many people... Civilization...
The thing about Civilization 5 came out of nowhere, and people thought it was, like, amazing, right? And... if they could recreate that sort of like, oh, it's another civilization, and then people play, it's like, oh, it still works, then that's a good thing. I guess. Yeah. Maybe.
I guess. I don't know.
Next up is No Man's Sky.
We'll see. That is the biggest question mark of a game in the world. No one knows how that's going to turn out. What's your bet? What's your bet?
I think it's going to be people are going to be like, their first reactions are going to be like, oh, there's such a big world. And then 8 hours later, it's like, oh, this game was not a good investment.
Oh, I hope that, I actually hope it's like, oh, as usual, I hope the game's good.
I hope it's good.
Because yeah. Worst case scenario, we get a good game.
Rather be wrong and have a good game than be right and have a shit No Man's Sky.
I know. Fucking hell. Like, it's not for me, but like, I just want people to, it'd be really interesting as an experiment of like, oh, infinite universe. You cannot experience all of this game. Anyway, what's next?
Next up is Watch Dogs 2. Which will be bad. It's going to be bad.
It's
going to be the worst game this year, maybe.
I can't. I think you skipped an interesting one, though.
I haven't skipped them. They're not in order.
Oh, just not in order? Because do you have Batman on the list?
Batman?
Telltale Batman, episode 1.
Yeah, I do. At the very bottom.
Cool. Yeah. We'll talk about that then. So for Watch Dogs, I suspect it's going to be generally positively received. Just like Inside.
I think it's going to be middling.
It's going to be Inside. It's going to be like Inside, and we're going to get angry. I think that's what's going to happen.
I think it's going to be Homefront the Revolution, is what I think it's going to be.
Oh, jeez. That's dark.
Because, critically planned. I can't. Like, Inside, you could even argue some sort of artistic merit or whatever. You can't. There's no merit to Watch Dogs 2. And firstly, it's not going to look like what it showed in the trailers. That's we already know this. Mm-hmm. B, what we seen in the trailer makes us angry, which is not what a trailer should be out there.
But a lot
of
people are like, oh, that's really cool. It's like relatable. It's like, oh,
those people are fucking morons. No offense, but like that was an offensive trailer. It offended it was beyond the boundaries.
The morality of it was so questionable. Yeah. Like, I had, like, deep
and it was just annoying. It annoyed me. It was just an annoying fucking trailer. I don't know why they decided to do that.
I bet a lot of people will really like the main character, and it will be depressing.
Well, a lot of people are voting Donald Trump.
that's just funny. That's not depressing. That's just funny.
You're right. Yeah. This is more depressing than Donald Trump.
That's just humorous.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
next one. This is maybe my game of the year: South Park Fractured Butthole.
Oh yeah, that's coming out this year. That's gonna be great.
That is rear end December.
That's interesting.
It's gonna be good.
Hmm.
Next up is Titanfall 2. Also looks very cool. Promising.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the single player is. It's all gonna come down to the single player reviews,
right?
For me, personally.
Next up. Dead Rising 4? I don't think anyone cares about that. I kind of want to play it. It looked really good from what I saw.
I haven't played a Dead Rising game. Zombies.
If you don't like zombies, then you don't want to play Dead Rising 4.
Yeah.
The Last Guardian?
I am going to play that game no matter what. Like, I'm just curious, man. Like, it has been like fucking 13 years. No, I don't think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be fucking boring. I think it's going to be like an obvious emotional like heartstring puller game.
It's like manipulative to the point of manipulation.
Exactly. It's not going to earn it. I don't know if that game is going to earn it, especially with how like simplistic the puzzle solving seems. It has a lot to prove to me.
No, but it just seems like a game where it's sort of like a movie where you kill a dog.
Exactly.
It's just like, oh, that's really lazy.
Yeah, that exactly what it's going to be like. And for me, it's like there's no words. It's going to be... Actually, no, there was a translation. It's going to be interesting because it's the first one of theirs that has words. I just reversed my point, but that makes it interesting to me. But graphically, it doesn't look great, which is important to me. It has to... But more importantly, like, I haven't played Shadow of the Colossus or Ico, so it has nothing... It has no, like, I have no invested trust in that studio, because I haven't played those apparently supposedly excellent games. Maybe because they came out in the PS2, and at that time I didn't have time to play games because I was going through the HSC. I had stuff to do at school. So I'm never going back to them, and I don't intend to because they're old now, and I think they just make me angry. So I have a lot to prove. with The Last Guardian. Okay. But I'm going to play that game no matter what.
Do you care about racing games?
No.
Okay, then we can skip them because I don't care about racing games.
Okay.
In the year of the black protagonist, we have Mafia 3.
That could be cool. I don't know.
I don't think so. Did you play Mafia 2? This can't be not. A cool game.
I didn't give a shit about open world crime games. Yeah. I didn't play GTA.
No, it's like the best part about Mafia 2 is it wasn't actually open world. They created this open world and then they locked out parts of it throughout the entire game.
That's so fucking random. What's his face? Like, I would play GTA. I haven't played GTA 5. So I would play GTA 5 years before I played Mafia 3. That said, like, I don't know. People seem relatively positive on it.
Homefront was an open world game. So is Mafia 3.
Is that the curse? Every game's going to be compared to Homefront?
In the sense of, like...
Is it Ubisoft?
In the sense of that we have negative expectations of it, and our negative expectations will be largely fulfilled. Oh, and it's not going to be terrible. It's just going to be mediocre, which is worse because it's just going to be on the wayside.
Exactly. Like, no one will care. Yeah.
Do you care about Gears of War 4?
No.
No, I don't care. Deus Ex. Mankind Divided. Big release. That's next month.
That could be my game of the year.
Yeah.
It has to do a lot to beat Uncharted, but it can. I'm not saying it's not possible.
Right.
Holy shit. I'm going to have to rewatch bits of Uncharted after I finish Deus Ex, because... Like, it's just long enough after Uncharted that the afterglow's fallen, and I remember why I love that game, but I don't remember the moments specifically, like the feeling of them. Right. Deus Ex if it fixes the things from the first one and makes more, like, gives you more viable options and all that kind of stuff, that game could be really cool. I hope it has a good story. That's my thing.
Do you care about ReCore?
No.
It just seems like one of those games that it's like a concept, but not actually.
I care about Tales of the Gameplay.
Oh, that's hilarious. The developer is called Concept. That's really funny.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. It's a shooter, and that's why it makes me not interested.
It seems like a five-hour game.
Whatever.
Okay. Next up is Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Hell yeah.
I'm not by this one.
That's the first Call of Duty I've been excited for since Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. It's literally the first Call of Duty I've ever considered buying. I've never bought a Call of Duty in my life. This one seems cool. I'll probably pick it up. Wait for reviews again for about that single player, but that thing looked awesome.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Telltale Batman.
Yes. So this is the last thing on your list, right?
There's one more.
Okay. This Telltale game... A, we're going to play it. That's happening.
Yes.
You and I are going to play that game together. That's going to be fun. I think this is a perfect fit. Like, Batman, investigation and shit, Telltale. That seems really cool, man. And apparently, because, like, Giant Bomb and Easy Allies didn't cover it, so I haven't seen anything about this game. Apparently, it was fucking incredible at E3. People were, like, shocked at how good it looked. That's not necessarily graphically, but, like, apparently it just made a really good showing. And I haven't seen anything about it, which makes me even more interested. Mm-hmm. Stay blackout. I'm just, I can't wait. It's gonna be cool.
Okay. Next is Pokemon.
What?
Sun and Moon.
Oh, yes. I'm going to play that game. I'm going to buy that game. Full stop. That's happening. Assuming it doesn't run poorly on the normal 3DS, in which case I'll skip it if it does. If it runs well... Then on the normal 3DS, not the fucking new 3DS, I can't wait. It's definitely going to be my top 10. Definitely. Because I just love Pokemon games. Anyway.
You should be playing Pokemon Go then.
No. Was there anything else? Let me have a look.
Do you care about Steep?
No.
No. Dragon Ball Xenoverse?
No. Gravity Rush 2? Yeah, maybe. Like, that could be a thing.
Oh, World of Final Fantasy?
Yeah, that looks adorable. I might play that. That looks cute.
Oh, Final Fantasy 15! Of course! That's
what
I'm
forgetting.
Oh my
god, how did we forget that? Holy shit! How did that happen? Oh my god.
Actually, there's a bunch. There's a bunch without dates. But Final Fantasy 15. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the game.
30th of September. I'm going to play that game 100%.
Oh, I hope it runs at 3 FPS. Exactly. God.
It's no, like, no matter what, I will play that game. The only thing that will stop me playing it in September on release day is if Sony announces the Neo before then, because then I'll wait for the Neo version, right? But that is going to be either my one of my games of the year or the biggest disappointment of 2016. That is it. That's the only two options for fucking Final Fantasy 15, and I can't fucking wait. It's gonna be sick.
Okay, there's a couple more actually.
Yeah, let's go.
So the next one is Resident Evil 4.
Isn't that 2017? That's already 2017.
Is it?
Oh wait.
Five. No, the new Resident Evil. Or six? Fucking Silent Hill. No, it was Resident Evil.
It was Resident Evil, but it wasn't. I think it was 7.
Okay.
Yeah, 7. Resident Evil 7. That's early 2017.
They all seem the same.
Yeah.
Is it 2017? Okay. You're right. It's 2017. Never mind. Neo.
Oh, yes.
Not this year.
Yes. Oh, man. Talk about like not caring about a game until you play the demo. Play that demo. That's the thing that's rocketed to one of the games I was most interested in. Like, fucking Samurai Souls, but like harder and less. Like, but a bit more, it's actually a bit more fair, but it's harder. And that is fucking cool. Oh, man. That game looks
sick. It's like a Japanese Geralt.
Yeah. It's like a stupidly similar to Geralt looking person with a sword.
Lawbreakers? Cliffy B's game? I don't care.
Apparently, that game's really good. I don't know. I don't care. I'm not going to play it because in the same way I don't play Overwatch, but yeah.
That's about it. Maybe I'm just looking through Cuphead. We don't care about that.
No, a lot of people do though. Like, good on them, I guess. But personally, not interested. Apparently, Attack on Titan's not bad. I
don't want anything related to anime. Refuse to pay money for it. Nope.
Let's see, Psychopath's Mandatory Happiness.
More anime games.
Speaking of anime games, though, games I really like: Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Spirit of Justice. 100%. I'm there. Man, this rest of this year actually looks pretty good for people like Japanese games. Like, fucking yes, Phoenix Wright sold.
What else is there?
Res Infinite.
There's a new Tales of game, always.
That's going to be bad. I'm just calling it now. That's going to be bad. What I thought would be an amazing series turned out to be a one and done wonder of Tales of Vesperia. No other Tales game I have played has impressed me since then.
Oh, God Eater 2 is coming to PC. Or not PC, to the West now, this year.
God Eater 2, huh?
Yeah. Cool. I don't care.
The remaster of Skyrim is coming out.
Yeah, I specifically avoided talking about that.
I just wanted to say that out loud. Whatever. The thing you can probably already get with mods right now.
Well, it's going to be free for PC, so if you already own the game on PC, it's free.
We didn't talk about Dishonored 2.
Oh, shit, I skipped that because I wanted to leave that. Okay, yeah. Dishonored 2 is going to be really good. I'm excited for Dishonored 2.
Looks sick. A friend of mine showed me, and you've probably seen this yourself. In fact, probably everyone's seen this, but I hadn't seen it until recently. There's a channel, and I'm going to quickly on YouTube. It's called like Stealth Games, Stealth BR or something. It's like Brazil. It's like a dude from Brazil. It's something BR. Let me just quickly look, because it's actually worth me going back and checking what the name of this place was, because it's fucking insane. Sorry, I'm just going to... Essentially, he's a dude who just plays Stealth Games really fucking well. Stealth Gamer BR. One word. Right. Stealth Gamer BR. So he has a... He's a dude in Brazil, and essentially all he does is play stealth games. But, like, when I say all he does is play stealth games, I mean, like, autism. He only fucking plays stealth games. He has the most amazing sequences...
Yeah.
Of gameplay.
Is he the guy who plays like chaotic stealth kind of thing?
Yeah, he's the guy who starts the map of starts a mission of Dishonored, fires a flaming arrow into the sky, kills a bunch of dudes in crazily creative ways, then turns around and watches that flaming arrow strike a dude that he knew would be there minutes later because he's played that map so many fucking times. Like, his level of mastery of that game is fucking incredible. It is just like a glory to watch. Like just the way that he stands in front of the dude, lets him shoot him, freezes time, goes behind it. Freezes time, captures his body, mind controls him, moves him around so that the bullet that the guy shot hits himself in the neck, right? So he gets shot in the neck. He then grabs the head, turns around, throws it at another dude who's just in front of an electric barrier, so he gets knocked into the electric barrier. That's kind of the sequences that happen constantly in these,
I don't understand how he spent the time to do some of the things he does.
Yeah,
there's Zika virus in Brazil. I guess it's dangerous to go outside.
But I'm gonna put his channel in the fucking show notes. It is incredible what he does. He's just inspired me to want to play Dishonored 2 more.
Right.
Just because the interesting powers and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to just watch him play.
He does, Dishonored. No power runs, too, and they're still amazing.
It's fucking incredible. And he only ever gets headshots. It's humorous how good he is at that game. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Delete that. Now it's in the plug, so hopefully Bevelton puts it in the show notes. But Stealth Gamer BR. He's a Brazilian dude who's really fucking good at stealth games. He plays other games too, not just Dishonored.
But they're stealth games.
But no, Dishonored. Are you going to play Corvo or the chick?
I'm going to play the chick.
Right. Nice. I'll probably play Corvo.
It's going to be different. I want different skills.
I played this first one so long ago. I don't remember any of it. So
right.
Did I even play that? I don't even remember.
You're supposed to be playing the chick. Is basically what
that's
that game
true.
Seems like.
That's true. Yeah. It might be like the canon run is the chick run,
right,
or whatever. That seems cool. Is there anything else here? Divinity Original Sin 2 could be cool.
Oh yeah, I've never played Shinbo the original.
Will love that game probably. I played a bit of the original. I wasn't in the mood for a funny RPG at the time. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like a cool game. Combat systems, unquestionably good. So I'll be interested to see if I'm in the mood for another one of those later this year. Hopefully it's good. I just want a better story. The first one didn't have that great a story. That's all the ones I've seen. That may be it. Persona 5 was out in Japan this year, but not out in the US this year. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Yeah, let's just cut it there.
Yeah.
Let's just cut it there. Cool, yeah, this game, I'm suddenly more excited for the rest of this year. This is a lot of stuff for me, at least.
It is more exciting than the first half, I think.
For me, the way for this year to be even more exciting would be if there's games that still aren't announced.
There's no way. That's crazy. It's too late.
I'm talking about small games. What if the first episode of Life is Strange 2 comes out? I fucking can't. I could not tell you how interested I'd be.
Tales of the Borderlands.
Yeah, imagine Tales of the Borderlands episode fucking 1 of season 2 comes out. Exactly. That's the only thing that could make me more excited about this year. It could be interesting. We never know. 2017's
going to be good, though.
Because, what's his face? Not GDC. The Gamescom. There's usually stuff announced at Gamescom, and that's coming out in a couple weeks.
Yes, that's in August.
Yeah, so there still could be more. So, anyway, so that's all we have to say. That's it. I'm not going to do an outro or anything, because that's Dublin's problem with his half of the show. But there wasn't, if you listen to this, I have a couple of things in the Google Doc to include in the show notes as plugs or whatever. Specifically that frame timing article and Stealth Game BR or whatever. Stealth Gamer BR. Any plugs from you, just in case?
Nope.
Alright.
Oh, I'm reading a book. It's called The Empire of Things. It's about the history of consumption from the 15th century to present. And it's really, really, really interesting on sort of why people buy things and how buying things has changed in terms of leisure from and to just sort of showing off social class and sort of the effect of consumption on society and vice versa.
Wait, The Empire of Things.
By Frank Trentman.
Yeah, Frank Trentman. Yeah, got it. I'll put the Goodreads link in the show notes. For me, I finished reading the first three books of Superpowered. which I talked about last time, it stays good. That is a fucking good series of books if you like superhero stuff. It's really fun and really enjoy, like, lovable characters that you actually grow to care about. But also, like, teen drama in a good way. That's, like, not like fucking those bad TV shows, but, like, in a way that you can actually get interested in and see people growing as people, and it's fun.
Right.
But that was last week's plug. I won't put it as an official plug. I'll say it here. And the second thing I had was, fuck, it was some of that. No, I had another thing. I've forgotten it. No. Anyway, it'd be just that for now. The previous two plugs. So yeah, if I think of it, I'll just literally pause this and insert it at the end of the recording because there's something good. Fuck. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night. I need to stop. I hit record again. Oh yeah, I got it. I remember what it was. A long time ago.
Let me just say this. This is 10 minutes. Like, no, not 10 minutes. Like, it's been a couple minutes since we fucking finished recording. Yeah.
I remember what it was. A long time ago, on the superhero chip, a long time ago, I talked about the PlayStation exclusive. The Sony Entertainment Network PlayStation exclusive TV show starring the guy from District 9, Shelter Copley, whatever his name was. Called Powers, I think it's called Powers. It's a really hilarious, like, low budget superhero show. The thing is, though, even though it's low budget and clearly low budget, it is really fucking good. And it's weird because, like, especially with how many superhero movies there are out now and that kind of stuff, you wouldn't expect anything superhero to be interesting. And the fact that these, like, that and, like, Superpowered are actually are interesting and actually make me want to watch them, in spite of there being this oversaturation of hero stuff out there, is just, yeah, it almost speaks for itself with how good it is. I need to sign in to find out what the show's called.
It's Powers.
Is this Powers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking awesome. The second season of that is out. That was my plug. The second season of Powers is out now. So for people interested in the continuation of the story from the first season of Powers, all five of us who watched it, it's happening. And it's really good. Yeah, it continues to be excellent. They're putting it out one episode a week instead of all at once now. So it's a bit different to how it was before. But I think all the episodes are out. I haven't caught it for a couple weeks because I've been busy. But anyway, that's it. So I added that to the show notes. So thank you for listening. See you next time.